106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and you're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show.
And one of the ones that has gotten most of the attention involves Kevin Federline working at a fast food restaurant, which brings us to this latest story. Apparently, his new job offer comes from Taco Bell. There was a letter circulated on the internet this week that was written. It was for real, too. Written by Greg Creed, the president of the Taco Bell Corporation, offering a job to Kevin Federline. So we thought, well, what's the deal with this? Is this insulting to Kevin, or is it starting to look good at this point in his career? So we thought we'd get Mr. Federlisi on the phone with us, back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Kevin.
Yeah, what's up? Good morning. Tis Evan Bazine.
We haven't talked to you in a while. I don't even understand what you're saying right now, but how have things been going for you? You've been kind of low-key since the Britney split.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I took some time off from my everyday career, you know, but I feel like this Super Bowl commercial is going to be like a big, you know, like a revival. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Now, what about this letter from the president of Taco Bell where he says, quote, come work for us just for 1 hour shift. We'll get you a uniform, a custom name tag, and show you what a great place Taco Bell is to work. We'll even reward customers who visit that restaurant with an order of our new carne asada steak grilled taquitos for free. What do you make of that?
I ain't gonna lie, dog. I took it. I took the job.
Really?
You already accepted it?
I'm in Taco Bell right now on my shift.
I didn't think you were that smart.
Slanging up tacos left and right like I used to slang crack back every night. You know what I'm saying? Up in Fresno. I didn't choose this life, dog.
So you're telling me that 3 months ago you were living in a mansion in Malibu with Britney Spears?
Wait, hey, Bean, shut up real quick. Oh, yeah, hey, dog, what can I get for you?
I want a beef gordita, a Mexican pizza,
yeah,
a chalupa, a side of sour cream.
Uh-huh.
K-Fed?
Yeah.
K-Fed?
All right. Hey, dog, do you want to add a side of chips and some sour cream for only $2 more today at Taco Bell?
No,
thanks. All right,
hey,
dog.
Kevin?
Your total will be at the second window. Keep a gangster. Yeah, what's up, guys? Hey, what's up?
You're trying to talk to us while you're working the drive-through window at Taco Bell? This is insane.
Well, yeah, it's special perks for me, you know what I'm saying, because I'm a celebrity. You know what I'm saying? They let me do my thing. They understand I got other business ventures on the side. So, you know, I try to handle customers as best I can. But if my agent calls, or if Black the Ripper, or, you know what I'm saying, Dark Gable, one of my producers, Crunchy Black, they call me up. But, you know, I got to take my calls. You know what I'm saying?
How often does your agent call?
Oh, you know, quite frequently. You know what I'm saying?
Like, give me a number.
Once every 10 months.
Years.
Right. Now, K-Fed, this is what I don't understand. I understand that you're in a battle with your ex-wife, Britney Spears, to hold out for the big payout. You're hoping to get, you know, tens of millions of dollars to go away. But what about your music career? I thought that was going to be how you were going to be making your money, is putting out a new record.
Dog. Listen, it's like my art is about me. Okay, you know what I'm saying? My art reflects my life. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a studio gangster.
Right.
I try to represent my life on wax, you know what I'm saying, when I put it on an album. And so I had to get back to my humble beginnings, where I started in Fresno, to get street, to get grimy, so I knew I could get back in touch with my gangster roots. You know, we've talked about this. My first album, it might have been too artistic, too avant-garde for the commercial palette. So I think I'm going to go back to where I came from, the street, to the beginning, to grassroots. You know what I'm saying? Salt of the earth, America. So I'm working fast food so I can get a better grasp on just who Kevin Federline. Ah, man.
Are you
gonna take hold on again. All right. Hey, welcome to Taco Bell, dog. What can I get for you?
Like two breakfast burritos.
Here we go again.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you like to make that a combo, sir? Or would you just like the burrito?
Good.
Okay, what would you like to drink?
K-Fed, listen, we don't have
shut up, Bean. Damn.
Diet Pepsi, please.
Diet Pepsi. All right, dog. Is that all?
K-Fed.
Can I also have a pizza?
Uh-huh. Really?
Hey, Kevin.
A pepperoni pizza? I'm sorry, dog. We don't got that. This is a Taco Bell.
K-Fed, listen.
Would you like to try our new dessert, the flan to go?
Yeah,
all right, that'll be $1.50 extra. Your total will be at the second window. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I keep it gangster. Hey, what's up? All right, guys, I'm back.
Has this new experience working fast food, has this already shown up in the new songs that you dropped off?
You best believe it. Like I said, my art, it represents my life.
Okay.
I give the people what they want.
Okay. Tell us about the new song that we got to spin, then we'll let you get back to the rest
of
your show.
Listen, like I said, dog, I let my art represent my life, and I've been working at Taco Bell a couple days now, and I, just like Kevin Federline does with everything, I put a gangster spin on all that I do. So this song is about just like working fast food, working with Mexican food in general, and how I'm dishing it out to the public, kid.
All right, let's hear it.
This is called Sprinkle That Cheese.
Sprinkle that cheese, bitch. Sprinkle that cheese. Yeah, sprinkle that cheese, bitch. Sprinkle that cheese. Get down on your knees, bitch. Sprinkle that cheese. I've been decorating faces like Christmas trees. Federline, I'm coming south of your border. Got a 10-ton burrito made fresh with every order. Chock full of beef, I don't need no rice or beans. Unleash my burrito from my baggy denim jeans.
It's muy grande.
The Rio Macho Combo. Me and your fish taco can do the pelvic mambo. You need two hands to handle this beast. It ain't no light snack, it's an all-day feast. I've been working that drive-through, driving through bitches. I'm all about my cheddar and collecting my riches. Marinate my beef, bitch. Marinate my beef. Yeah, marinate my beef. It's my carne asada. Marinate my beef, bitch. Marinate my beef. I got the sour cream to fill your whole enchilada. Yo, ghetto Taco Bell is what they say to ya, because I sprinkle crack in every chalupa. Working that drive-thru in my wife beater. Put 20-inch rims on your next quesadilla, because I'm gangster, and that's how I roll. I'm the Taco Bell kingpin from here to Fresno, bitch. Spray the sour cream, yeah, spray the sour cream. Gonna spray the sour cream. How about a frosty horchata? Spray the sour cream, gonna spray the sour cream. I got a veiny flesh straw for your poontang colada.
Okay,
all right. Come on.
By the way,
that's enough.
Poontang colada is opening up for Yalo Tango tonight.
But I understand. Yeah. We tried very hard, and I think we finally came up with a way to make the Armenian comedian make even less sense.
Salvia, which is the new drug that's legal so far. Legal so far.
Right. Well,
so
far legal. That's why we had to get this video up at krock.com, where it is in the video section of the Kevin and Bean page right now, because already Congress is working hard to make it illegal. So we wanted to make sure we could get it while we still could.
Now, we have put up at the Internet Roundup, we have put up a bunch of links to people who are on YouTube. And you can watch them smoke it. And Psycho Mike had the brilliant idea of having the Armenian comedian come in, who is high every day.
So how could you tell if he's on salvia? How is that any different than regular Sam?
Well, it's much more of a hallucinogen, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And I wanted to see the difference. Because like you said, if anybody can handle their weed, it's Sam. I mean, he's a champ. He has an iron lung. He just rips dank. But you see the reaction of these kids on YouTube. And I said, if there's anybody who I want to see taken to the next level, it is Mr. Armenian comedian Sam Manasian. So...
But the kids on YouTube, in the videos that I've seen, and I've maybe checked out a half a dozen of them or so, they either sit there stoically without any expression on their face, like you can't even tell what's going on in their head because it's so mind-blowing to them that they can't react externally, or they just start giggling uncontrollably. Those are the only two options that I've seen, and Sam was neither of those.
He was
a little bit of a surprise to me.
When you're dealing with a talent like Sam, you don't know what's going to happen when you pour gasoline on that fire.
Very good point. He's such a wild card. No, and that's the truth. He's such a wild card. You never really know what's going to happen with him. And I knew for a fact that he wasn't going to be one of those guys that was just going to sit quietly, because Sam could never sit quietly.
Right. He's never been quiet in his life.
Yeah. But I had no idea what went on was going to happen.
So Sam wants to know exactly what this is, and I think Mike gives him a good explanation.
It's kind of like a type of weed. And we just want you to take a bonger above it. There's a bunch of guys on YouTube. I said, if there's all these YouTube videos of people smoking and filming themselves, the guy we need to go to is number one pothead himself, Sam the Armenian comedian.
That's the only medicine that we menhood should have.
It's the only medicine that we menhood should have.
Very true.
That's a good point.
Is he suggesting that pot is the only medicine you ever need? Is that what he's saying?
Yes.
Oh,
well, that's what he was trying to say, but he said
this. The salvia, by the way, in case you haven't heard of it, it does grow. It is a plant. It does grow. It's very big in New Mexico, for instance, and it's very similar, I guess, to smoking pot, except it's got way more hallucinogenic properties to it.
So Mike is explaining to him how to do it. We have magically produced a gigantic bong.
That was beer mugs. Thank you, beer mug.
I was trying to keep that quiet, but all right, that's good. So we bring it out, and they get the salvia, and he starts explaining to Sam that he has to hold it in his lungs.
You have to hold it in your lungs as long as you can.
I've done it before.
Listen
to
me.
It's nothing new. What's in it?
It's Swedish.
Weedish?
Yeah.
It's weedish.
Yeah.
That's all Sam needs to know, but he kind of picks up on that.
Weedish?
Yeah.
From Swedish?
Yes, exactly.
Weedish from Swedish.
Yes.
All right. You can hear they're outside. You can hear the cars and the birds and everything else.
Is this a Mexicana?
Yes, it is.
King of David.
Okay, so he sees the King of Mexico, and he says, is this Mexicana?
Right.
Yes, it is. King of David is his greeting. Okay, so he takes some. By the way, you can see this at krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, videos.
Okay.
Go to videos. There's a video of Sam up doing this, and he is... He's a visual that needs to be experienced in person.
Hold it in. Yeah. Hold it, hold it.
It's rushing to feel good.
It's rushing to feel good. I speak Sam.
Want to take another hit?
No, this is enough.
That's enough.
Because pretty soon I feel like I'm going to jump on this monkey.
So he points to a tree and says, pretty soon I'm going to jump on this monkey.
Is he seeing the monkey, do you think?
At this point, his eyes are really starting to move in weird ways. Like, they're really erratic, banking back and forth in his head.
Like a monkey on a tree.
I'm sorry?
Is it already hitting you?
It's hitting me like a monkey on a tree.
Okay, so it's hitting him like a monkey on a tree.
All right.
I guess. Then he starts, well, when you have this much talent, sometimes it just oozes out. Does he bring that recorder with him everywhere he goes?
100%.
You don't know when you're going to need it.
Yesterday he showed up. He showed up in a quadruple XL shirt with hair clippers and a flute.
Generation years ago, I be coming to tell you. I was born in Africa.
Okay, now he takes his shirt off.
Yeah.
Oh dear God, no.
And climbs into some bushes.
Yeah.
So he's in bushes now, shouting, I was born in Africa.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
The Lion of Judah.
The Lion of Judah. What would you guess that means?
Of course, the very popular Lion of Judah.
Is it a biblical reference?
It is. It's in Ezekiel 22:16.
You don't know, do you?
I have no idea. All right.
I am the blood king of this natural habitat.
So now he's in the bush, no shirt, and he's shouting about how he's the Lion King of this habitat.
I'm going to call it the Land of Kingdom of the Lions. Howl!
Okay, now he's growling like a lion.
He's roaring, yeah.
He's trying to roar.
It's so hard. I don't have a baseline on this because Sam acts like this all the time, even when he's not stoned.
He does. He acts like this... Yeah. In that he's hard to understand things, but when he starts really yelling and
like
and by the way his the way he undressed, you could tell that was when he really was really high on salvia, because he even mentioned that to me afterwards. He said, that is part I don't understand why it happened to me, you know, and he just for no reason was playing the flute and all of a sudden starts to like take his top off and just walk around aimlessly.
The King Kong does.
Okay, now he's gone from the King of Judah to the King of Lions to King Kong.
The King of Kong.
Okay,
and then
the King of Kong. Yeah. And he ends up pounding his chest like King Kong on the, you know, on the building. I mean, he just really is going crazy.
Jeez.
Did you talk to him afterwards to ask what it was he was seeing in front of him when he was behaving like this?
Yeah, I said, Sam, I kept trying to, on camera, I said, please describe what you're seeing and feeling. And he just kept saying, this is not right, but I feel so open and free. I am closer to God. You kept saying that, too. And he was like...
Here's what I like about Mike, is that Mike would say, is that enough? And Sam would go, yeah, that's enough. And Mike would go, that's not enough? And he'd put the bong right in front of his mouth, and he hits it again. So the point here, if we're going to make a point, if you're going to take something away from the Kevin and Bean show... Is it don't do salvia? Don't do drugs?
Okay.
Well, let's not get crazy.
Don't be at any time in your life with Sam.
Well, that's definitely a good point.
I say
to make.
If you're going to do it now while it's legal.
Okay.
We tried very hard, and I think we finally came up with a way to make the Armenian comedian make even less sense.
Salvia, which is the new drug that's legal so far. Legal so far.
So far? Right. Well, so that's, far legal. That's why we had to get this video up at krock.com where it is in the video section of the Kevin and Bean page right now, because already Congress is working hard to make it illegal. So we wanted to make sure we could get it while we still could.
Now, we have put up at the Internet Roundup, we have put up a bunch of links to people who are on YouTube. And you can watch them smoke it. And Psycho Mike had the brilliant idea of having the Armenian comedian come in, who is high every day.
by his
own.
So
how could you tell if he's on salvia? How is that any different than regular Sam?
Well, it's much more of a hallucinogen, right?
Exactly. I mean, exactly. And I wanted to see the difference because, like you said, if anybody can handle their weed, it's Sam. I mean, he's a champ. He has an iron lung. He just rips dank. But you see the reaction of these kids on YouTube. And I said, if there's anybody who I want to see taken to the next level, it is Mr. Armenian comedian Sam Manassian. So,
but the kids on YouTube in the videos that I've seen, and I've maybe checked out a half a dozen of them or so, they either sit there stoically without any expression on their face, like you can't even tell what's going on in their head because it's so mind-blowing to them that they can't react externally, or they just start giggling uncontrollably. Those are the only two options that I've seen, and Sam was neither of those.
He was
a little bit of a surprise to me.
When you're dealing with a talent like Sam, you don't know what's going to happen when you pour gasoline on that fire.
Very good point.
He's such a wild card. No, and that's the truth. He's such a wild card. You never really know what's going to happen with him. And I knew for a fact that he wasn't going to be one of those guys that was just going to sit quietly, because Sam could never sit quietly.
Right. He's never been quiet in his life.
Yeah. But I had no idea what went on was going
to
happen.
So Sam wants to know exactly what this is, and I think Mike gives him a good explanation.
It's kind of like a type of weed. And we just want you to take a bonger of it. There's a bunch of guys on YouTube. I said, if there's all these YouTube videos of people smoking and filming themselves, the guy we need to go to is number one pothead himself, Sam the Armenian comedian.
That's the only medicine that we menhood should have.
It's the only medicine that we menhood should have.
Very true.
That's a good point.
Is he suggesting that pot is the only medicine you ever need? Is that what he's saying?
Yes.
Oh,
okay. Well, that's what he was trying to say, but he said
this. The salvia, by the way, in case you haven't heard of it, it does grow. It is a plant. It does grow. It's very big in New Mexico, for instance, and it's very similar, I guess, to smoking pot, except it's got way more hallucinogenic properties to it.
So Mike is explaining to him how to do it. We have magically produced a gigantic bong.
That was beer mugs. Thank you, beer mug.
I was trying to keep that quiet, but all right, that's good. So we bring it out, and they get the salvia, and he starts explaining to Sam that he has to hold it in his lungs.
You have to hold it in your lungs as long as you can.
I've done it before.
Listen,
it's nothing new. What's in it?
It's Swedish.
Swedish?
Swedish. It's Swedish.
Yeah.
That's all Sam needs to know, but he kind of picks up on that.
Swedish?
Yeah.
From Swedish?
Yes, exactly.
Swedish from Swedish.
Yes.
And you can hear they're outside. You can hear the cars and the birds and everything else.
Is this a Mexicana?
Yes, it is.
King of David.
Okay, so he sees the King of Mexico, and he says, is this Mexicana?
Right.
Yes, it is. King of David is his greeting. Okay, so he takes some. By the way, you can see this at krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page videos.
Okay.
Go to videos. There's a video of Sam up doing this, and he's a visual that needs to be experienced in person.
Hold it in. Yeah. Hold it. Hold it.
It's rushing to feel good.
It's rushing to feel good. I speak Sam.
Want to take another hit?
No, this is enough.
That's enough.
Because pretty soon I feel like I'm going to jump on this monkey.
So he points to a tree and says, pretty soon I'm going to jump on this monkey.
Is he seeing the monkey? Do you
okay.
think?
At this
Hang
point,
on.
His eyes are really starting to move in weird ways. Like they're really erratic, banking back and forth in his head.
Like a monkey on a tree.
I'm sorry, is it already hitting you?
It's hitting me like a monkey on a tree.
Okay, so it's hitting him like a monkey on a tree.
All right.
I guess. Then he starts, when you have this much talent, sometimes it just oozes out. Does he bring that recorder with him everywhere he goes?
100%.
You don't know when you're going to need it.
Yesterday he showed up. He showed up in a quadruple XL shirt with hair clippers and a flute.
Generation years ago, I be coming to tell you. I was born in Africa.
Okay, now, he takes his shirt off.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God, no.
And climbs into some bushes.
Yeah.
So he's in bushes now, shouting, I was born in Africa.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
The Lion of Judah.
The Lion of Judah. What would you guess that means?
Of course, the very popular Lion of Judah.
Is it a biblical reference?
It is. I don't know. It's in Ezekiel 22:16.
You don't know, do you?
I have no idea. Right.
I am the blood king of this natural habitat.
So now he's in the bush, no shirt, and he's shouting about how he's the lion king of this habitat.
I'm going to call it
The land of kingdom of the lions. Howl.
Okay, now he's growling like a lion.
He's roaring, yeah.
He's trying to roar.
It's so hard. I don't have a baseline on this because Sam acts like this all the time, even when he's not stoned.
He does. He acts like this. Yeah. In that he's hard to understand things, but when he starts really yelling and
like
and by the way the way he undressed, you could tell that was when he really was really high on salvia, because he even mentioned that to me afterwards. He said, "That is part I don't understand why it happened to me," you know, and he just for no reason was playing the flute and all of a sudden starts to like take his top off and just walk around aimlessly.
The King Kong! King Kong does!
Okay, now he's gone from the King of Judah to the King of Lions to King Kong.
The King of
Kong.
And
the King of Kong. Yeah. And he ends up pounding his chest like King Kong on the, you know, on the building. I mean, he just really is going crazy at this point.
Do you talk to him afterwards to ask what it was he was seeing in front of him when he was behaving like this?
Yeah, I said, Sam, I kept trying to, on camera, I said, please describe what you're seeing and feeling. And he just kept saying, this is not right, but I feel so open and free. I am closer to God. And you kept saying that to you? He was like,
here's what I like about Mike, is that Mike would say, is that enough? And Sam would go, yeah, that's enough. And Mike would go, that's not enough? And he'd put the bong right in front of his mouth, and he hits it again. So the point here, if we're going to make a point, if you're going to take something away from the Kevin and Bean show, is it don't do salvia? Don't do drugs?
Okay.
Well, let's not get crazy.
Don't be at any time in your life with Sam.
Well, that's definitely a good
point
to
make. I say if you're going to do it now while it's legal.
Okay.
And if the weather's really, really hot or really, really rainy, there's only one man to send in for the job.
Channel 4's I Can't Get a Breath, Doug Kriegel.
Killer heat wave bakes Southern California. Listen to this. A heat wave swept Southern California for a seventh day on Monday, claiming the lives of an elderly couple, setting record temperatures and leaving thousands of customers without power. What happened, Lisa? You were talking about that earlier. What happened with the old folks?
They were in their 80s. The man was in a wheelchair. They lived in Studio City. Apparently, they had an air conditioner, but I heard Doc earlier say that it was broken.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get it to work, and they died. And when they found them, it was 105 outside, 110 in their apartment.
Oh, dear God. Ouch.
They must have lived in Woodland Hills. Can you imagine being without power?
No.
They were in Studio City. That's how freaking hot it is.
Yeah.
Studio City is now like Woodland Hills. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Let me add that and say it was not frosty in Southern California over the weekend. If I could be so bold as to put
that much of a point on it.
It was actually not at all chilly. I don't, there are no very few Arctic references being made this weekend.
Here's a few of the highlights of some of the TV coverage from over the weekend.
Well, it wasn't a twister, Sylvia, but certainly some twisted weather.
A freak flash flood made flashlights the most sought-after item Friday night.
Whose idea was this? The asphalt itself is about 300 degrees. Tack on 100 and a dime in atmospheric temperature, and you have perhaps the most uncomfortable task of the day.
So what do you do? How much water do you drink?
About 2 gallons.
2 gallons an hour.
An hour and 20 minutes.
What's the worst part of the day?
Right now.
I do plumbing, and I'm going to be going and digging a sewer line up, which is your main, you know.
In 110-degree heat?
Yeah, just water. Keep stuff cooled off. Take breaks.
Right now, we are having clear weather, but as I take a look at the clouds, you know, I would have to say it's very unstable. We're hearing thunder, and it could start raining again. Right now, the pavement has dried off, but that could change within a matter of minutes. They change rapidly here in the mountains.
No sign of rain in the skies, but plenty of these on the ground.
Well, it's so hot, I thought I might take an umbrella. It might make me feel a little cooler. Doesn't help.
With temperatures in the triple digits, that isn't a surprise. Some restaurant names not conducive with al fresco dining. Outdoor eating areas this afternoon abandoned. But not everyone is suffering in the heat. John Christopher's house is made out of stone. An excellent insulator, he says, to the blistering temperatures outside.
So it stays pretty cool inside even when it's hot out there. About 20 degrees difference.
A new house, though, isn't a requirement for coolness.
Right.
Just ask little Kevin Gowder here.
I'm just drinking mango juice, and that's how I keep myself cool when I go in the heat.
I don't,
All I have to do is drink the mango juice?
Honestly, I don't need to know how a four-year-old stays cool.
Why do they do that? Why do they do that? Well, the only thing worse than being the couple in Studio City that died is being poor Doug Kriegel for Channel 4. It doesn't matter how hot it is or how many days in a row they make him go out and cover the heat with all the various angles. And I believe we have Doug. I believe we have a hookup with Doug, don't we?
Yes,
good morning, Mr. Kriegel. How are you?
Hello, Kevin and Pete. How are you?
We're good. How are you today, Doug?
Out here in the street, and it's just too hot.
Oh, wow. Whoa. Doug, we're on the air right now, dude.
I am so tired of standing out here talking about the goddamn heat.
Now, Doug, I saw you on the news Friday afternoon and then Saturday, and then they sent you out there again Sunday and then Monday for Labor Day. And you're telling me you're still covering the heat from all over the Southland on Channel 4?
Boy, isn't it hot out here? Look at all the heat.
This is bullshit. Doug, we have to watch our language.
I don't give a anymore.
Wow.
I used to have a career. I used to be a real reporter.
Well, that's when you could breathe, Doug. Is part of the problem that they send you out every day and you've got to make news out of something that frankly isn't news? We all know it's hot out and there's only so many ways you can talk about it.
Hey, what's in that water bottle? Are you staying hydrated? You.
Doug, maybe you've done a few too many stories about the heat.
Son, I hate it. If I had my way, I would just destroy the sun.
Well, I don't think you have that option. Have you done any of those hard-hitting interviews this morning that I like so much where you ask little kids what they're doing to stay cool?
Yes. I found some kids playing in a fire hydrant.
Uh-huh.
And I said, turn that fire hydrant off. Don't you know we're out of water? Kids. That won't be on the air today.
So you've spent a little too much time in the heat. That's what you're saying.
I think I have a stroke.
Yeah. Is it warm out there at all this morning, Doug?
No, it's nice. Yes, it's hot. My balls are hanging so low right now. My old scrotum stretched to its capacity.
I don't need to hear about any more of
that. Look at my low-hanging balls. Now that would be some news.
Yes, it would.
Hey, Paul Moyer, look at my low-hanging They're sticking to my thigh.
All right, Doug, we gotta run.
Look at me. I'm hot. It's hot out here.
All right, we get that.
Hey, Chuck Henry, look how my droopy are hot. This.
Answering one of the age-old questions. All right, Psycho Mike has joined us in the studio. Good morning, Psycho Mike.
Hello.
Will you please confirm for the people that Bean and I tried to talk you out of this bit?
That's absolutely asinine. You guys sold me down the river like I've never seen before.
The conversation came up in the office a couple of weeks ago about the stereotype, perhaps, that African-American moviegoers talk more out loud in the theater than other races do.
The false stereotype. Sure.
The false stereotype. Of course, the false. Kevin and I said, well, that's just insane. That's just crazy. You just sound ignorant when you say something like that. Psycho Mike said, not only is it true, honky, I can prove it.
It is true. What Psycho Mike said. And much like I proved the Asians can't drive stereotype to be true, I'm here with an investigative report so revealing. So groundbreaking.
Well, I'm eager to hear the tape. And before we get to it, just because we do go to Kara Lister Enel for all black-related issues on the show, it's not a rumor, says Enel. It's not a stereotype. It's a goddamn fact. It's why the bootleg market is so big in the hood. You can take a movie home and you can talk to it all you want. On a side note, Psycho Mike has issues. Why spend all that time eating right and working out only to be killed by a mob of angry black moviegoers? God bless that boy. Free Tookie. So I guess we'll find out how it went in the tape, huh?
This really threatens to shake race relations here in America.
Is that right?
Right to its core, to the foundation.
An investigative report?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, so you guys sent me out to the Magic Johnson Theater.
We sent you.
On Slauson.
Yeah.
And I was scared.
And by we sent you mean, hey, whatever you do, Mike, don't go to the Magic Johnson Theater, is what Kevin and Bean said.
That's kind of how it went. Sure. And so I figured, look, we got Charles right here in the front.
Right.
So
our security guy,
we
love Charles. He used to play drums for Little Richard.
Right.
Huh?
And he's a black guy himself. I figured, hey, before I go out on my little quest, my little crusade, why don't I talk to Charles, see what he can help us with? How you doing, my man?
I'm doing great.
We've been curious about this for a long time, and you know, you can definitely help us out. Why is it that black people in general like to talk at the movie theater?
Well, they like to entertain while they're being entertained. You know, they just like to they talk a lot, and they like to discuss the movie while the movie's going on.
But they don't seem to mind. It doesn't bother them that they might be interrupting the movie or ruining the movie for other people?
I think they know, but some people just don't care. They just want to get their point through and everything. They just want to talk and all that jazz, you know?
All right, Charles, and why do you feel that this is exclusively a black thing?
Well, I think it's part of the culture. We love to talk a lot. I personally don't, but a lot of my brothers talk a lot. A lot of my soul brothers talk a lot.
There you go.
So black people are entertainers.
So that warmed you up.
So they're naturally entertainers.
I would like to speak out as one person who is entertained by that. I do not find that disruptive at all.
You love it.
I find that very entertaining.
Well, not
everybody. I find it entertaining that Charles says he doesn't like to talk a lot. I find that entertaining.
As you said, Kevin, not everybody's bothered by it.
Right.
But Joseph, the next black gentleman that I talked to when I did make it down to the theater, he was just as bothered by it by some white folk. Now, I'm a white individual, and I was just curious about something. I've noticed a trend. Why is it that the black insist on talking during movies?
Most of them are straight ignorant, have no consideration for others who are actually there to watch the movie. And it just bothers me, too, when I'm there to actually watch a movie. And you got people there that just don't want to be there and actually enjoy the movie, but want to sit there and cause commotion and talk on the phone and just whisper amongst yourself and look stupid.
It bothers you just as much as it bothers other people.
Right. By the way, he's talking about people talking on their cell phones and different things like that. I mean, I think this is targeted at people who speak to the screen, to the people on the screen.
Because I got news for you. White people are the ones who are talking on their cell phones in two-way.
Bastards.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to do that hard-hitting expose later.
Why do white folk talk on cell phones? So next guy I talked to is Dean. Now,
By the way, let me give you props because Psycho Mike went down there and purposely avoided the term African-American.
Oh, that's BS. There's no way I'm going to utter those words.
It's too easy to get away with when you're doing
give
this.
Give me a break. So I talked to Dean, and he's kind of like the dashiki-wearing, educated, pro-black, pro-Africa type of Negro.
Sure.
And so when I talked to him, he gave me a whole dissertation on macroeconomics that I was not expecting. Hello, sir. What's your name?
My name is Dean.
Now, Dean, you're an African-American, a black man. Is this true?
Last time I looked, yes.
Let me ask you a question. Why is it that the black individual feels compelled to talk during movies in the movie theater?
You did it. You took our suggestion to say axe.
Yeah.
I mean,
Dean,
your own decision.
People.
Right. Yeah.
See, hold on now. I'm going to say this. The thing I like about white people is that they have a plan. They have a plan for everything. This question you're asking me, it's a setup. You want to know how to make one of these theaters in your neighborhood because you see how much fun it is. We're not there to watch a movie. We're there to entertain ourselves, eat, get drunk, and maybe even get laid. But we're not there to watch a movie. If you go to one of our theaters, you're going to see there's a Kentucky Fried Chicken, a Church's Chicken, and a Popeye's Chicken within walking distance. You're going to find that there's a liquor store around the block.
Wow.
These people are the people that are making money for the theater. The concession stand is empty. There's nothing in there. You can't buy candy.
And who's going to pay $7 for a box of Junior Mint?
When you can have $7 worth of Bud Light.
Boom!
Wow. Was that a real guy, Mike, or is that one of your friends you put up to that?
Come on now.
I wondered what happened to Carlton from The Fresh Prince.
That guy.
Yeah, kidding.
He was a self-proclaimed Oreo.
Okay.
And so there you go. Little did we know that it's a whole money-making scheme.
Wow, I didn't realize
now,
that.
Now, there couldn't be a more opposite type of African individual than Tommy J. Nelson. He was completely on the other spectrum when it comes to African-American folk. What's your name?
Tommy J. Nelson.
Where are you from?
Memphis, Tennessee, born and raised.
And I just had a quick question. As you can see, I'm a white guy. You know, so there's a lot of things I don't understand about the black community. Can you tell me why black people insist on talking during movies?
Some just have a zero tolerance, and some are just ignorant. Most of us go to the movie to listen and enjoy, and most just go to kick back with their homies.
But a lot of people, they'll talk during movies. Do you have any idea why that is?
Some be talking to direct or let other people know what the movie is about, and others just be gossiping, carrying, making noise.
I love that guy.
That's right.
I do, too. He's Roosevelt from The Family Guy is who he is.
Now, then came Cassandra. I'm starting to really feel it there.
Were you ever afraid while doing this?
Oh, dude, when I first got there, I was so scared. And I mean really scared. At 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. In that neighborhood, I'm the only white guy for miles. And I'm looking around. I'm like, this might not be a good idea. But I had to suck it up. you know, because I'm dedicated as a broadcaster.
And you say that because obviously all blacks are cold-blooded killers and you're likely to get beaten just because of the color of your skin? Is that your suggestion here, Mike?
If I was like a real reporter asking real valid questions, I probably wouldn't be that scared, but I knew I was going to try to bust balls.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this might not be a good idea because I'm so outnumbered.
Did you say you were a broadcast professional?
Yes.
Okay.
And next came Cassandra, and she was so hot, like a smoking hot Nubian princess.
Really?
Yeah, she was like a young Pam Grier mixed with like a little bit of a Beyonce going.
Wow.
Yeah, very, very hot, very fine. So I approached her, and she just dropped the bomb on it. She really let the cat out of the bag. So what's your name, ma'am?
Cassandra.
Are you a beautiful young black woman? Are you not?
That's what they tell me.
I have a quick question. Why does the Negro feel the need to talk during a movie?
It's a requirement.
It is?
It is.
And why is that? Do you have secret black person meetings and you discuss these things when we're not around?
Yes. We talk about the ridiculousness of Hollywood movies all the time. So when we're in our own community, we're discussing it out in the open. It's like an open forum.
So you feel you're actually doing other moviegoers a service by kind of filling the holes that the movie's given us?
Absolutely.
Now, are there other requirements in the black community besides talking during movies?
Yeah, there are, but we'd have to kill you.
Oh, yeah, it's classified information. You tell me you have to kill me.
That's right. We don't spread that stuff. That's between our people.
Okay, well, now that we've got the logistics stuff out of the way, how much do I have to pay you for a piece of your sweet chocolate ass?
How much you get on you?
7 cents and half an Abba Zabba.
You're cute, but you're not that cute. Sorry.
Oh.
Gave it a shot.
Nice try, Mike. I applaud you for going for it, though, man.
Dude, you got to load up on the cash before you ask that kind of question.
I'm nothing if not smooth, by the way.
But how do you help your fellow moviegoers if you're yelling, don't go in there, don't open that door? How does that enrich the experience for others?
It enriches mine. I love it.
There's a lot of Kevins out there, Bean. You'd be surprised.
I could listen to that all day.
All right. So I'm really rolling now.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
Feeling it. I'm like, I'm part of the community now. I'm in there.
Yeah, right.
And this is the last dude I talked to. His name was Jerome. And you can see why. Speaking with Jerome, say hello, Jerome.
What up?
Now, you appear to be a black man.
Yup.
Let me ask you a question. Why is it that the Negro feels the need to talk during movies?
What the f*** are you trying to say, my nigga?
Come on, I'm just curious. Why do they have to?
Because we can.
Okay, good enough for me.
See you later.
Peace out. Thank you very much. Court adjourned.
I got to get me to a car.
I was out.
That is spectacular. I've never been called my nigga.
No.
Nicely done, even though we do not
endorse what I've done.
Endorse that or support that in any way.
Yes.
Thank you. What I'm saying is sometimes you make a phone call, you can't begin to expect who's going to answer on the other end.
Joey Amaya sent Ralph an email that said, "Hey, Ralph, what's up? Just want to let you know about this 800 number that my girlfriend calls for her horoscope."
Mm-hmm.
They have other options like playing blackjack with a celebrity. And the celebrity is Sean Connery.
No kidding.
I don't know why or how this came about, but I decided we might as well go in the other room and try it. So this is, I called the line, and this is me playing blackjack with Sean Connery. Again, I don't know why they have this option, but they do.
Welcome to blackjack. Okay, let's play. Shuffling, you were dealt the king of clovers and the jack of hearts for a total of 20. The dealer is showing the five of diamonds. Say yes for another card or no to stay.
Stay.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
Stay.
You win, you kick booty. Would you like to play again?
No.
You kick booty.
Oh my God. See, I would think you wouldn't get a star as big as Sean Connery to ever agree to do something like this. That's a real surprise to me.
It is.
Is it a 24-hour, I mean, can you call any time?
It is. It's 800-555-8355. And then they come on and they say, you have a lot of options. You want to talk sports. You want stock tips or whatever. And you just say blackjack and it goes right to Sean Connery.
Dude, let's totally. Can we play now? I mean, is it the type of thing we could just call up and do live?
800.
I totally want to hear what this is like. That's awesome.
8355.
Okay.
Main menu. Here are all the categories you can choose from. Business search.
Blackjack.
All right. Blackjack.
Welcome to blackjack. Okay. Let's play. Shuffling. You've been dealt the 10 of spades.
Okay.
And the 8 of hearts.
Ooh, gotta hold.
The dealer is showing a 10. If you'd like another card, say yes. If you'd like to stand, say no.
No.
Yeah, we gotta stand on 18, yeah. Right? Sure.
Come on, you f***.
Do you have no balls whatsoever?
No, you have to hold on an 18.
I've got 20, you f***.
I... What's going on with this?
What the f*** is wrong with you?
Is this really Sean Connery?
If you're not going to play the game, just go suck a...
No, listen. All of the rule books for blackjack say you get an 18, you hold no matter what.
All right, have it your way.
All right.
Okay. Oh, look, I have 20. You f*** lose.
Oh, my God.
What a surprise. Eat my c***.
How are we being schooled by a recording? I don't understand how this is happening.
Don't
this is amazing.
To me. I'm pre-recorded.
Oh, that's
okay.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Would you like to play again?
Yes, I would.
Yes.
Shuffling.
All right.
You've been dealt the 10 of, let's say, diamonds.
Are you making this up?
And the 5 of hearts.
Okay, I got a hit.
Okay.
You
50.
Have 50. Yeah. Wait to hear what I have.
I know. I know how to play. Go ahead.
Pull your head out of your... Wait to see what cards I have before you start saying things.
This is a very
sucker.
Very specific recording, isn't it?
Shut the up.
All right, I have a 15. Go ahead.
I've got 21. You.
You didn't even deal the cards.
Doesn't matter. Go yourself. I beat your ass.
Come on, Sean. Give
Bend
me a...
over and spread your cheeks.
Give me one more chance.
Wow.
If you'd like me to with a condom, press 1.
All right.
If you'd like to just carry my l- in your l- press 2.
Okay, this
never
is
mind. I think I'm out.
You piece of
Nine Snails and the world famous K-Rock presents Kevin and Bean's Breakfast. Breakfast with 9 inch nails.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Trent Reznor.
Yes, I'm alone. Way to get started, huh? That's a lot of noise for a few people. Morning, Trent Reznor. How are you?
I'm good.
How often do you get a chance to do a show, 6 feet from the fans?
It's a rare but coveted occasion when we can do that.
Are you one of those guys who likes to look out and see the faces of people, or are you one of those guys that kind of would rather not see anybody?
No, it's weird. We were just talking about this backstage. We all were kind of a little bit nervous. Because when it's some people are right in your face, it's right. Like your space is invaded. We can hide behind fog and
video screens that come down in front of you.
Exactly.
And stuff
yeah.
Like that.
And when you're this close, you can tell whether what you're doing on stage is connecting with the people too.
Well, they can tell that it's all on tape. That's the catch.
This is what I love. This happened when we did Breakfast with Metallica last year. Is for some reason it's impossible to pass a piece of white tape on the floor. It's like a force field. If they wanted to cross that line and rip you apart, they couldn't do it. It's amazing. You're getting ready to go out on another leg of the With Teeth tour. You're doing a lot of touring behind this record, more than we've seen from you in a long time. How are you feeling about it? You looking forward to it?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I'm glad this is it for a while because it's been enough. You know, the thing with touring is when you're making a record, tend to look forward to the reward of touring because it's immediate gratification and it's fun.
Right.
But after a while, it can kind of get into being tedious, you know. And after, like on this past tour, because you're doing the same thing every day pretty much, I've really occupied my time by writing and keeping my mind going. So I've got another record pretty much ready to go. And that's kept things rolling.
And the new record is going to be out maybe the end of the year, maybe the beginning of next year?
I would hope that it's finished when I get off tour by the fallish, which means it probably would come out top of next year sometime.
Mm-hmm. What kind of stuff do you take with you on the road so that you feel like you've got a little piece of home with you, even though you're actually in a different city every night? I met Josie. I met your dog.
Sometimes you take a dog out with you.
I mean, you take books, movies, furniture, other stuff that you feel comfortable around?
You know, it was bring a bunch of movies and just try to waste time. And then when we had Saul Williams out with us,
right?
I've started working on his record with him, and he's a really inspiring guy to be around, and he'll make you feel bad. He doesn't intentionally do this, but every time you look at him, he's got his notebook open, or he's reading something for
you
smart
like you
people.
You should be doing more?
Well, you're trying to, you know, catch the end of 24 or something, right. And then you feel like an idiot. And so him being around has really kind of sparked through guilt.
How did you hook up with him and start producing his album?
I just caught his video for List of Demands, and I thought it was interesting and refreshing, and just mentioned that, you know, when we go out on tour, it'd be cool to have him, see if he's interested in going out with us.
Right.
And then we just hit it off as friends, and I think there's a mutual respect, and the situation came up where he's working on a new album, and I had some material, and it just kind of naturally happened.
So you are producing his record?
I'm co-producing with him, working
right.
on stuff. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of producing, are you in touch with Marilyn Manson at all anymore? You guys worked together there for a couple of years. Now he's an old married guy, but do you ever talk to him?
No.
Not really? No. I would imagine that a lot of people probably approach you to work together.
No, not really.
I remember Tori Amos, who loved you and was so excited to do a couple of tracks with you, for instance, back in the day.
The good old days.
We also talked to you once before about Zach De La Roca and his stuff.
Yeah. That we worked on some stuff together in New Orleans when I lived there a few years ago. And I thought it was going pretty cool, you know. And I hadn't met him before that. And it was a good opportunity to meet and find out that we hit it off as friends. Mm-hmm. But it just wasn't the direction I think he felt comfortable with, and he's searching for what he wants to do.
You know, is he going to feel comfortable with any direction, any time?
Well, future? I don't know, but that's part of being an artist, is finding, you know, I think it's tough when you come from a band that has a real solid identity and is universally liked by everybody. To move to the next thing requires you feeling good about it and feeling that it's not a repeat, and it's, you know. But he's a really talented guy. Not to say I didn't expect that, but I didn't know really what he did in the band. You know, I'm going to sit down with him, and it's like, okay, this guy does a lot.
We have so many questions. If you're just joining us here on KROQ this morning, it's Breakfast with Nine Inch Nails today. We're talking to Trent Reznor. We have about 150 of your closest friends out in front of us who are very excited to hear some more music from the band and to ask some more questions. We have to take a quick break and come back. You guys are going to play again right after this quick commercial word on the world famous
Kevin Bean and Nine Inch Nails. Breakfast with Nine Inch Nails. KROQ.
Kevin and Bean here. We're back broadcasting from a super secret location. It's Breakfast with Nine Inch Nails on the world famous KROQ.
To see if I still feel, I focus on the pain. The only thing that's real, the needle tears a hole. The old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. Beneath the stains of time.
If I forget to say this later, by the way, you've been at the top of the list of people we've wanted to do a morning show breakfast with. So thank you very much for being here. This is just
my pleasure.
What a treat. What a treat this is. Want to go back out to the crowd? Who's next for Trent Reznor?
Hi, Trent. My name is Steven. I'm from Rancho Cucamonga. I've got a two-parter because my friend who got the tickets put me up to it. First question is, do you have any plans in the near future to contribute any music for, say, a film or a video game? Second part is, we noticed during the last tour that most of the other bandmates had hairstyles from your previous tours. I just want to see how you decided to do that. If you drew straws, or if you just drew it out of a hat.
The wheel of hairstyles he's asking about.
I hadn't noticed that, but that's good.
What about the movies?
Nobody wants the one I've got now. Nobody wants that next.
I know I couldn't pull it off, seriously. You did a couple of movie soundtracks in the 90s that were great for you and terrific movies, too. Is that something? I imagine that's something else you probably get offered a lot. Hey, do a song for our movie.
I've been offered, but I'm, to be honest with you, I'm not that excited about. You know, I'll explain. It's if there was the right situation where it's a creative one that's not plug a rock song into a bullshit movie,
right,
or working under a tyrannical director that basically I don't like being working for the, you know, I don't like being the guy that, like, working at an ad agency. Make music for a Toyota commercial. Well, I don't want to,
right,
you know? Or I don't care what you think should be there. I'd rather do it this way. Not to sound like a prick necessarily.
No, I understand, but if it's David Lynch and he's got this project and you're perfect for it, and it
fits.
If it
was David Lynch, you know, yeah, that would be one thing. If it was Cronenberg, yeah.
Right.
But to get right into the Hollywood part of that machine, it's not that exciting to me. You know, I'm more interested in writing a movie or directing a movie.
Are
rather
you
than
doing
just
either
being
of those?
Maybe.
Yeah. The coy, Trent Reznor.
Very cryptic.
Will you see The Da Vinci Code? Will you see X-Men 3?
I like going out to big, cheesy Hollywood films occasionally, but I haven't had time.
Yeah, this could be a busy summer for you. That's for sure.
Let's take. Let's talk to this girl right here.
Because Angelique.
Angelique. We had her email us.
Hi. I emailed them to see if I can get an opportunity to thank you for writing music and your lyrics, because it really helped me prior to and during the time I was getting my diagnosis for muscular dystrophy. I think you saved my life in a way.
Well,
thank you.
It's very sweet, Angelique. You're very kind.
I very much appreciate you saying that. Thank you very much.
Trent, do you remember what the earliest music was that moved you like that, where you felt like, oh my God, this is speaking directly to me, and it may save my life, because rock and roll is the only thing that makes sense at this period of my existence?
No, I think all through growing up, you know, I started to realize music was something that I played music, but what really got me into doing what I do now was things that steered it away from, saying, being a classical pianist and more into rock music. And I remember, like,
thank God
for me, the Pink Floyd The Wall album.
Yeah,
you know, I was lonely, bummed out kid in Pennsylvania wondering how he wound up there, and that seemed like I could completely relate to, you know, these old English guys from the other side of the world. But right, it totally spoke to me.
You ever shave your eyebrows off because of the movie?
Thought about it.
No, it's a good look.
You know, I have moments in my life where there was a concert at the perfect time when I was listening, yeah, and they still stand out to me. And one of them was when you were at the what used to be called the Palace, I don't know, 10 years ago or something like that, and you did Head Like a Hole. And I can remember every second visually in my mind. And do you have
it's cool to hear that? It's cool to hear what you said. That you know, those are the moments. Like when I hear songs, I can think back to, I know exactly where I was when I heard it, or that was in the backseat of my mom's car when I was eight. And so, how did I store that? You know, it's a very visual kind of thing for me, and it's soundtrack to good times, bad times. This song reminds me of riding in a car, and it's a good summer day. And that was the worst breakup I've ever had. And you know, music got me through all that stuff, and to feel that, you know, things I've done might be connecting to some other people. That's the greatest feeling in the world.
Well, that's one of the sweet things for us working for K-Rock, is because you're working on a station where the music does matter to people, where it's not just, hey, for the most part, flavor of the month, you'll never hear from this guy again. For the most part, there's a lot of songs on there that really touch people, and that's one of the things that's great about working there, you know, great about having the opportunities to do this. All right, do we have one more question? Are we out from the crowd?
One more,
right. And then the guy's going to do a couple more songs, including another brand new one, not recorded, by the way, is going to be coming up next. So that's a real treat for us here on K-Rock. Who's the final question there?
Hi, my name is Tiffany. I'm from Hollywood. I have a question for you. As an artist, writing in general is a really good way, an outlet for expressing yourself. And I was just wondering, out of your entire catalog of songs, which one means the most to you and why?
Oh, that old easy question.
Yeah.
You know, I think it moves around a bit. You know, overall, generally, I'd say Hurt is right up there at the top of the list. You know, I've sang that live hundreds of times, and there's never a time that goes by that I'm not teleported back into a place that came from, right, you know. And that was also one of the easiest experiences of writing I ever had. You know, I think you can really get bogged down in trying to make something perfect and overthink things, and it leads me, anyway, down a path of agony.
Right.
And that song just felt like, I remember just being a few minutes of just writing things down, and it just felt right, and then I felt guilty. Like,
wasn't hard.
Did I not really? Is someone else a song? Because I can't, you know, exactly. I don't deserve this one.
You play, it's just you and a keyboard on stage when you do that song. I've heard rumors of you touring solo with just a keyboard. Is that something you've talked about?
I've talked about it. You know, it need to be the right time and in the right situation, really. But, I mean, I'm into the idea of something other than a loud rock band.
Right.
Not necessarily indefinitely, but something just to break it up.
Well, you get to see the loud rock band at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater on the 7th of July. Nine Inch Nails coming back to Southern California. And then, if you weren't listening a few minutes ago, Trent tells us maybe a new record as early as the end of this year, beginning of 2007. So, good news for Nine Inch Nails fans. How cool was this, by the way? How awesome at the crack of ass to have these guys get up and play this for us.
We're going to come right back with some live music from Nine Inch Nails on the world famous K-Rock.
Thank you, Trent.
Thank you. All I'm saying is, if you have animals, you do not want to live next to Bean. Because he will kill those animals, is my point.
I think they got it.
So, guys, I got trouble in paradise.
What happened?
I got real problems here.
No, you don't. You got the greatest story ever.
Dude, you've always had problems. What's going on?
You guys have been making fun of me for a long time because remember when I told you a few months ago that I had written to Dear Abby and you got all up in me because you thought no one ever writes to Dear Abby?
Yeah, of course. They're all fake. They're made up.
and 85-year-old women.
Yeah,
too,
right.
Too.
Well, I wrote to Dear Abby because I've been having a problem in the neighborhood, and I don't know how many of our listeners will relate to this, but I got a neighbor who...
None
is the answer to that, but go ahead.
Well, everybody's had a situation with noisy neighbors, right? That's not uncommon. Everybody's had someone, they're doing construction, or they play the music too loud, mm-hmm. or they got motorcycles up and down the street, or something
but
like that.
No one has your problem.
My specific problem is that my neighbor about a year and a half ago, I guess maybe, got a rooster. Now, they had chickens, and they, you know, a lot of people where I live, it's kind of rural, and they have their chickens to lay eggs and, you know, that sort of thing. And they got a rooster. And I don't know how many people have ever lived next to a rooster, but you know how you hear, like in the movies, the rooster crows at sunbreak?
Yeah, sure.
You hear that sound, you go, well, that's kind of nice. It's kind of rural. It's kind of homey. That sounds good. Well,
sure.
What happens, unfortunately, with roosters is that goes on for hour after hour after hour.
You mean they don't like just do it right at 6 a.m. and stop?
I wish they did.
There's no snooze button on a rooster?
Like, it's not just during the morning either. I mean, they're quiet a little bit midday, and then they come back in the afternoon, and they crow for hours more. Now, what do you do if you're me in that situation? I live in an area that is rural. I mean, I've got farm animals. I've got cows and a donkey, and I've got pigs. I mean, one of the reasons people live in places like this is because they want to be able to have their barnyard, right? So they have every right in the world to have a rooster. But right. Where does their right to have a rooster run up against my right to get a good night's sleep once in a while?
Of course. That would drive me nuts.
What do you do, Kevin, if you're me? What do you do in that situation?
I write Dear Abby. I go out and I would never, ever, ever think of writing Dear Abby. I would go out in dark clothing and kill their pet. You wouldn't.
That's
though.
Not a rooster.
An option. That's not an option.
If I'm not sleeping...
Oh yeah.
So I did more than just write Dear Abby. I also have been in contact with the neighbors over the course of a year and a half.
Okay.
I said,
of course, you contact them and say, is there anything you can do?
Yeah, I said, look, I understand you're allowed to have this rooster, but I got to tell you, I'm not able to get any sleep. And of course, we have very hot summers up here with no air conditioning. If you have your windows open at all to try to catch a breeze or something like that, you're going to have trouble with the roosters. Obviously, doing this radio show in the morning, I can't have the windows or the doors open as long as you've got the rooster because the thing just makes too much noise all the time.
Right.
I understand if it's a pet, but is there anything you can do? Can you move it further away? Can we relocate the rooster to someone else's house and we'll buy you eggs for life? Please work with me here, right? And
you weren't darts. That was the answer.
And you weren't angry at that point, right? You were just
absolutely
asking
how long you've been asking and writing and contacting them, though?
It's been about 6 months, probably.
Oh.
And every time I hear from them, every time I speak with them about them or leave them a note, and then they call me, they go, "Yeah, we understand your concerns. We're taking it seriously. We're going to work on it. We're going to come up with some sort of plan. Thank you for contacting. Sorry about you." So they seem really nice about it, okay?
Right.
It just was driving me crazy to the point. I mean, this rooster for like 20 hours straight was, okay.
You're going to come around to my way of thinking.
Heard
Bean's,
that.
Bean's starting to write notes on rocks and throw him through the window.
So I wrote another note that was just cranked up just a little bit more.
Just a
in
notch.
My tone.
Yeah.
Just a notch. And it basically said, look, we've had this conversation for many, many months now. Please just let me know if you're not going to do anything about the rooster, and I won't continue to get my hopes up, and I promise I'll never say anything about it again, but just tell me that you're happy where the rooster is and that basically F off, okay? Basically just let me know so that I don't worry about it.
Okay.
So that's the note I left. So I get a call from my wife, and
Uh-oh.
She says, you're not going to believe this, but the rooster's gone.
Woohoo!
And I said, oh, my God, that's the best news ever. She
fantastic.
Said, yeah, it's so fantastic. I guess you wrote this new note. And I said, yeah, I wrote this new note. She says they must have taken the rooster over to the animal park or wherever it is they go, you know, where they send the rooster or something like that, just like you've been asking. It's fantastic. So my wife got this this basket of, like, bread and cookies and took it over and left it on their porch. And thank you so much for being so considering. We hope the rooster has a fantastic home
that's
and a happy
great.
Life. And it's so sweet. So we felt really good about it. And then she ran into my next-door neighbor at the hardware store later that same day.
Right.
And she said, oh, did you get the basket? The neighbor said, yeah, it was so thoughtful. Oh, we're just so happy that it worked out. We felt really bad. We love animals so much. We really felt bad to even say anything. But thank you so much for the help. You know, I hope the rooster's going to be very, very happy. And mm-hmm. she said, the neighbor says, what do you mean? And she says, well, I mean, I hope the place that you took the rooster, that rooster's going to have a happy life, maybe a place where it's not going to be bothering anybody, but is going to enjoy.
Right.
She's like, no, you don't understand. You asked us to take care of the rooster. Donna says, yeah, we wanted you to take care of it because of the – she said, no, we took care of the rooster. And then she makes the little –
the little Indian chop, the little tomahawk chop like this, you know, and the neighbor's got her daughter with her, like a 13-year-old or something like that. She's like, we'll talk about it later, but it's all good. We took care of the rooster.
They cut off the rooster's head?
Yes.
Nice!
They went out and they chopped the rooster's head off. And my wife, now I'm really upset about this. We laugh and stuff, but
that's
really
the best case scenario.
In a million years, my intent was not for them to kill their pet.
It's quiet now.
That's part of the point, but that's not the whole point. I thought they'd take this rooster to a sanctuary somewhere or give it away to somebody who's got more land where the rooster could live and be a rooster.
Rooster Lake. Rooster Lake.
I didn't want Rooster Lake. Now, Donna did everything but burst out in tears in the hardware store when she heard this. And when she called me, she called me after the meeting, she's like, you're not going to believe it. I can't. They killed the rooster. And I was like, oh, my God. I felt so bad. So now I'm the pet killer in the neighborhood.
You put a contract out on the rooster.
That's how I feel.
Awesome.
We take care of the rooster, Mr. Baxter. Don't worry about it.
So now every time I go outside or I have my door open, I hear the silence. It almost makes me cry. Like, I'd give anything to hear that little rooster again.
The silence of death.
That's exactly
the sweet, sweet silence of death. Rooster killer. You're a rooster killer. How does that make you feel?
I couldn't feel any worse, frankly. I wish I'd never said a word.
For being of all people. To cause the death of a rooster is the best thing ever.
Did you talk to them and say, this is the biggest misunderstanding ever? Did you say that to them? What, after I found out the rooster was dead?
Yeah.
I haven't spoken to them since. I only heard Donna talk to him at the
hardware
store.
Well, they're your next door neighbors, for God's sake.
He's not going to go say that to them.
What am I going to say? I can't go over there now and go, we didn't mean for you to kill the rooster.
I was just kidding.
Here's the thing, though. They're your next door neighbors. You don't have to wait to run into them at the store. I don't know what to tell you, but I'm not going to go over there now.
I apologize. I didn't. If you thought that's what I wanted, you know, I'm really
sorry.
Well,
I will have that conversation.
By the way, your daughter's been awfully loud lately.
All right, ladies, got some vacation plans for this summer? Listen up. This one's for you. I've saved my entire life for a vacation that we went on last year.
Mm-hmm.
Always, always, always wanted to go to Africa. That was my dream.
Yes.
Save. Finally ended up going over last Christmas, and it was one of the most amazing places I've ever seen. I apparently was not aware, though, of some of the activity that was going on there.
Really? Right under your nose?
Apparently, 1 in 5, according to the article that I'm reading, 1 in 5 people go to Kenya for sex. And apparently, old British women, 50, 60 years old, that's their dream. That's their dream vacation, is to go to Kenya and have sex with a young stud black man.
Well, that's all our dream, but thank God I don't have to go to Kenya to do that. You're telling me 1 in 5 people who go to Kenya as a tourist go for sex.
That is what some of the hoteliers there are saying. Some of the people in the hotels are saying, yes.
No kidding.
1 in 5.
That's crazy.
There's a guy there, an Olympic basketball star, 22-year-old, said he has slept with more than 100 white women, most of them more than 30 years older than him.
Yeah.
He's making some dough.
Yeah. So basically, it's old rich women.
Well, you know,
going
Thailand. Thailand's a sex place for the dudes because they like the little Asian chicks,
I guess,
right?
Yeah.
And women want the, you know.
Yeah.
It's packing.
Yeah, apparently they do. I had no idea this was going on. I mean, imagine.
Wow.
Old women, and they go to this this beach area where I guess all the guys know what's happening. They know what's up, and the women walk up and down the beaches, and the guys walk up and down the beaches, and then they just pick themselves one.
They just go, hook up?
Hey, you're 20. Come with me. And these guys, by the way, this is a tribe, a backwoods tribe, the Maasai tribe that I saw when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
They still measure wealth with cattle.
They're, so the women buy them livestock? Is that what you're
saying? I don't know what the women buy them, but I'm just saying they're not modern.
Yes.
At all. And I think that's what the women are looking for.
Wow.
So we had to track this story down, as you know. This sounds just too ridiculous to be true.
It really does.
But apparently it is. And we had our producer Lightning track someone down in Kenya. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you today?
I'm very good. I just had sex with a white woman.
Was that right?
Did.
Yes.
Just now?
Just finished. You look called at the perfect time.
Okay, good.
Otherwise, I would have been deep in...
I think we know it.
In activity.
What happens, yeah.
I would have been going, oh, no, it's forgotten.
What does that mean in African click language?
I'm done. Get out.
Okay, all right.
That's
now, this is the same beach area that's in the story. Is that where we're reaching you?
That's right.
Okay.
It's called Sex Beach.
Sex Beach.
Well, that seems obvious.
In English, it means beach where they have sex.
Okay. I can understand that translation.
Yes.
Now,
so
how old are you?
I am 22.
22. Okay.
Yes.
How old was the woman you just slept with?
Yeah.
I could not be sure. I would have to cut her in half and count the rings.
That sounds old, though.
I'd have to have her carbon dated.
So you're saying...
Really, I'm guessing somewhere in the age range of 50 to dirt.
50 to dirt?
Yes.
Wow. Now, do you do this a lot? Is this something that you have sex with older women
a
lot?
I have many sex with older white women that come from England and other countries to come here and have sex with me.
Okay.
They like to ride the ebony python.
Is that right?
They are looking for the dark, heat-seeking, moisture missile.
Right, that's what I've heard.
And they'll love to ride the chocolate tree chunk.
Right, I got it. Now,
by the way, chocolate tree chunk.
Is a good band name?
Opening up at Coachella.
How do you know about Coachella, sir?
Because Coachella is an old African word.
Meaning
it's too effing hot out here.
Okay, I didn't realize that's what it meant.
Yes.
Now,
perfect.
Is it true what it says in the article that a lot of these older women do not want to actively turn down condoms? They do not want to use condoms.
I don't speak good English, but I have no idea what that question was.
Would you mind if I tried again?
Could you try one more time? This time, make it more simple for an African like myself to understand what the F you're talking about.
How about if I just read it then?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Apparently, women, older rich women, travel for sex with young Kenyan men, and they shun condoms. They say no to condoms because they find them too, quote, businesslike.
Even reading it is very complex, what you're saying.
Do the women...
Are you asking if the white women don't want to use condoms when they have sex with me?
Yes! That's clearly what I'm asking.
That is not clearly
what I'm
asking.
Who's laughing in the background there?
That's Omar.
You have a friend named Omar?
Yes, he keeps my cattle.
Is that right?
He's in charge of wrangling my oxen. He's an oxen wrangler.
I have not heard of that.
That is true. Many white women don't want to use the condoms when we have sex here in Africa.
But aren't they worried about disease?
There's no concern here. There's not a lot of AIDS in Africa.
There's not? Because I've read there is.
In Kenya, it's almost 8%.
Wow, that's pretty high.
It is, yeah.
Holy crap.
Now, do you get tested regularly?
I do.
Okay.
I got a 98 on my reading comprehension,
and I think that's...
in my arithmetic test, I was 73.
What test?
Arithmetic test. arithmetic, math.
Yeah.
My math test.
My English skills are catchy.
Yes, it's more dangerous than AIDS. I wish I could put a condom on your mouth.
Time to talk about Mexican superstitions. I don't know how. I guess it all started from a phone caller that we got a couple of days ago. But the email and the phone calls and the Afro line calls are just pouring in. I guess, well, you Mexicans are superstitious people, it sounds like.
It does seem like the Mexican community is more superstitious than a lot.
Yes.
What came up yesterday is if you watch a dog poop, you get a sty in your eye. How do you describe a sty? I don't even know what.
It's like a little bump on your eyelid.
That
inside.
Hurts.
Yeah,
that
it's
hurts.
Red
okay,
it
so
hurts.
You get that just because you're looking at a dog, and then so we had a woman call in for what it do, and we said that can't possibly be true, right?
It is true, and the only way to get rid of it is you get a cat's tail and you put it over the eye the perrilla is on, and then it goes away.
So that's what she says. You get a cat's tail, you put it over the eye, gone.
That's a pretty easy one to prove or disprove, isn't it?
Well, you would think. I don't know how stuff like that lingers. I guess if you're taught that as a kid, you never really question it. Maybe.
Right, but once you get to be, I don't know, 8, and you realize I've watched a dog poop and I don't have a sty on my eye, doesn't it just go away? How does it perpetuate from generation to generation when it clearly is not and has never been true?
Because you never watch. Because you would never take the chance.
You would never
chance.
Look. Right, yeah. You don't want to take the chance. We have Angel on the phone. A K-Rock listener, Angel, sent us an email. Good morning, Angel.
Good morning.
So you you married into a Mexican family.
Yeah.
And this
I'm Mexican too. But
okay.
I'm not that way.
So you haven't heard, did you hear that one, that particular superstition?
Yeah, I've heard of that one, yeah.
Okay, what are the other ones that you have seen firsthand?
Okay, one of them is if you crave something, you know, like strawberries or peach or whatever, you have to eat it or you'll get a canker sore on your tongue.
If you crave something, you have to eat it.
Yeah.
Well, that explains overweight.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay, what else?
Well, the one I wrote you guys about was if there's a full moon, a lunar eclipse.
Yeah, tell us about the lunar eclipse because this one looks even more weird.
Yeah, that's what I said. If there's a lunar eclipse and a woman is pregnant, she has to pin a baby pin or a safety pin over the belly and not be exposed to it, or the baby will have a hair lip.
So she can't go outside during the lunar eclipse?
Nope. Got to lock her away in the closet.
Really? What if she has to go somewhere?
Don't ask me.
How about an umbrella?
I don't think that qualifies.
Doesn't do
know.
It. Hairlip baby.
So is the explanation in the Mexican community for every baby that's born with a hairlip, which, by the way, incredibly rare that that happens, but when it does, it's just assumed, well, that woman must have stepped outside during a lunar eclipse at some point?
Yes.
They don't happen that often.
I wonder how these continue because like we've said before, it seems like somebody would look at a dog pooping and go, fine, okay, not true.
I don't know. It's kind of like not walking under a ladder. Do you walk under ladders?
All the time. Doesn't bother me.
You know what people won't.
You know what my wife's superstition is? Don't put a hat on the bed. And she's serious. Do not put a hat on the bed. So I start, of course, you know, being the sensitive guy I am, throwing hats on the bed. Because nothing's going to happen. There's no God that says, you put a hat on the bed, you die. I mean, that just doesn't work that way.
There's another one about not putting your purse on the floor.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, just is you know, for safety's sake, it's just common sense to not have it stolen or, you know, make sure you keep an eye on it at all times. It makes sense not to put it on the floor.
But in your own house?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
But the Mexican community does seem like they buy these hook, line, and sinker. And I'm not exactly sure why. I guess, I don't know. What about chupacabras? Do you believe in chupacabras? Angel?
No, I don't believe in chupacabras.
Does your wife's family?
They might. Yeah. They probably do.
So many great ones to talk to. Where do you want to start? Well, I mean, how do you begin on a topic like this?
Here's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to move along quickly because there are so many different ones. We're not going to have a lot of time for follow-up questions.
Okay.
So we're going to go to Ronald in East L.A. first. Ronald, what's the superstition that you are aware of?
Okay, check it out. My mother-in-law, she's 65, and she told us, me and my wife, that if she had constant heartburn while she was pregnant, that the baby was going to be extremely hairy. So, yeah, when the baby was born, he had a pretty good afro. He looked like Notorious B.I.G.'s kid off the cover of that album. You know, so it was pretty true. And eventually, a little bit of it fell off, but he was pretty puffy when he came out.
All right, so that one's true. Okay, thank you, Ronald.
Lisa, isn't heartburn a fairly frequent side effect for a pregnant woman?
I was going to say, I think all pregnant women have heartburn towards the end. Yeah.
Rosa in Pomona.
Yes, hello.
Hello, what's yours?
Mine is, my mother-in-law told me that if I scratched my belly while I was pregnant, depending if the baby was around there, he would have like a birthmark.
Oh, that's where birthmarks come from? Because you physically put it on him?
Uh-huh. So in case you were ever wondering, now you know.
Okay, good to know. Thank you, Rosa. Let's go to Jenny, who's calling from Whittier. Good morning, Jenny.
Hi, good morning, Karen Bean. Hello, Lisa May.
Hi, Jenny.
Your superstition involves flour.
My mother always said that if you warm a tortilla on the range and it expands, that you're going to get married.
If you warm a tortilla...
Like a big
bubble thing? And the hot air gets caught and it rises, separates, and it like balloons up.
You'll get married.
You're going to get married.
But how do you prove or disprove that when the vast majority of girls do end up getting married? I mean, is that mostly a universal?
Bean.
Does it mean you're going to get married that week?
I'm saying if you have to ask, you just don't know.
So I guess, just got to pop that bubble right away.
Alfred in Covina, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Lisa May.
Hi, Alfred.
There's something called ojo, which is literally translated as the eye. Babies have to wear red. They have to be dressed in the red outfit or put a red ribbon on or something like that.
Why?
Because if you take them out in public and somebody who has, I guess, I don't know how you say it, strong vision, like they'll jinx the baby or something, they'll make the baby sick if they're looking at it. So the red wards off that evil, I guess.
Is that the evil eye?
The evil eye, there you go. That's kind of the same thing.
But
so if you ever take your baby out and the baby is not wearing red, then the baby is susceptible to the evil eye.
There you go.
Isn't that like Kabbalah? Isn't that where they get that from? Is the
red string?
The red string to protect against the evil
eye? I think you're right.
I'm not saying my people have a lot of kids, but have you noticed how many of these superstitions revolve around pregnancy and little babies?
That's a good point.
All right, let's go to Darren, who's calling from Oceanside. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Darren.
My mother-in-law, when my daughter was born, you know how they have the soft spot on the top of the head?
Right.
If the soft spot would start to sink down, supposedly it would give the baby diarrhea. So she used to get warm water and put it in her mouth and suck on the top of the baby's head and then turn the baby upside down. And supposedly this would pull the soft spot up and get rid of the diarrhea. So one time she was doing that and I made fun of her and I did an Indian dance around the table. She didn't like that.
No, I'll bet she didn't.
Oh, Darren.
Thank you, Darren. You know what else is common with all these calls is it's all my parents, my in-laws, my parents, my in-laws.
But this is what I asked before. How do these superstitions continue to get passed down from this generation that sees how crazy they are? Why are they going to show up in the next generation? But they will.
Raquel in Norwalk, good morning.
Good morning. Buenos dias, guys.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Which one do you know?
Okay, so this is the one that my mom told me. If, when we're sweeping the kitchen, and if the broom hits our feet, we will not get married. So in order to reverse it, you need to knock on the wood of the broom.
So if the sweeping broom, if it hits your foot, you're not going to get married. But then you can knock on the wood of the handle and you'll be fine.
And you'll be fine. Which would probably not explain why my sisters after the age of 30 are still not married. But they keep knocking on that wood. But
It's not working.
It's not working.
Maybe they're not knocking correctly.
They
Thank
missed
you, Raquel.
One of them.
Wow, these are amazing.
Yeah.
Did somebody order Mexicans?
It's good to know that we are not the only confused people.
On the air.
On the air.
Before anyone asks, why don't they just retire Uncle Larry, put Larry King out to pasture, he still has the highest rated hour of the day on CNN, and that's why he continues to get to do his show.
Larry King is old, and he doesn't have any thought process that mimics any other human being on Earth. He's out
Los
of his
Angeles,
freaking
hello.
Mind. I'm obsessed with Larry King and how bad he is now.
Is that why people watch? Because he's so bad?
I don't know.
Just to
see. No, they watch because he gets good guests. He gets very timely guests. Now, whether Kid Rock, as much as he's been in the news tangentially because of the association with Pam Anderson and Tommy Lee, as much as whether he deserves an hour of time with Larry King, I don't know. But I do know that Larry King had never heard of Kid Rock before and didn't have a single question on his own to ask him. I do know that.
That's a good interview.
He's just a bumbling idiot, Larry, and he's got Kid Rock on the show, and they show a video clip of Kid Rock riding his go-kart, and Kid Rock says, "I'm riding my go-kart."
Uh-huh.
And then Larry follows that up with a very, very important question.
Ride my go-kart.
What kind of car is that?
Which car?
That race car. What is that?
Those are go-karts.
Hey, how about that, Larry?
So Larry isn't listening at all.
He says the words, "I'm riding my go-kart." And Larry's like, "What kind of car is that? That race car there.
What is it?
What the hell's that?" So then they start talking about that there's a stripper pole in Kid Rock's house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Now, I mean, who doesn't understand that? Really? Right. Larry
King. And by the way, it's been years. I mean, that's old news that he has a stripper pole. We've known that for years. He had it when he was with Pam.
Yeah.
What's with the pole?
What's that?
What's with the pole?
What do you mean? You don't have one in your house?
No. How do you use it?
How do you use it?
He's kidding, right?
No, he's Larry King.
He's ever been in a strip club in his life?
You got something really big stuck in your teeth? How do you use that big pole?
You know why the pole's in the house, right?
Do you slide down the pole?
Hell no.
Oh, okay. Do visitors slide down the pole?
They have?
Of the female persuasion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you don't like guys on the pole, Larry.
No.
No.
Of the female persuasion.
Of the female.
Nudge, wink, wink.
Yeah, he can't just say you have a stripper pole in your house. He can't say that. He has to be completely clueless about it. Oh, you mean the females? So then he's starting to talk more about Kid Rock and his appearance, and he starts talking about his hat.
So you always work with a hat on?
Yeah, usually.
Ever take it off?
No, Larry. I have had it on since birth. You douche.
Okay. This is why I suggest that maybe they didn't need an hour with Kid Rock. If Larry is down to, so you always work with the hat on?
So you always work with a hat on.
Yeah, usually.
Ever take it off on stage?
Oh, yeah.
He looks at him like, take it off now.
Oh, you want me to take my hat off?
Yeah, good.
Are you getting that? Yeehaw!
Oh, my God.
Now they see your hair.
You look biblical. Wait a minute. Hold it. You're blonde.
Okay.
What is going on?
Hold on a minute. You're blonde?
Excellent question.
What is he doing?
I can't imagine.
Here's
my favorite.
How is this
an interview on CNN, a channel that represents the United States around the world?
Here's my favorite clip. This is at the end of the interview. So he has now spent an hour with Kid Rock. And he's talked about the hat, and he's talked about the go-kart and the stripper pole. And he finally gets down to tattoos. And listen to how Larry ends the show.
Do you have tattoos?
Yeah. What about that, Larry?
I'll tell you something, kid.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed with you.
Thank you.
I look forward to meeting you.
Okay. You've been talking to him for an hour, Larry. You've had him on for an hour. You already met him.
I'm looking forward to meeting you.
What's going on with him?
Did he mean meeting you again?
I don't know.
He must, right? He must have met. I look forward to seeing you in the future.
He forgot he met him.
He forgot the hour that just happened. Remember the hat, Larry? Remember the stripper pole? Remember any of that?
The go-kart? Ring a bell?
Looking forward to meeting you.
I hear you're going to be on my show.
I hear you're going to be a good guest on my show on CNN. I'm going to look forward to watching
What about that, Larry?
Tell you something, kid.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed with you.
Thank you.
I look forward to meeting you.
Wait a minute. Who are you? Which one are you?
I'm looking forward to that, too, Larry. When's that going to be?
Yes, Larry?
I just love that interview.
I'm not sure, but I think this might be very important information, so listen up.
The I guess it's the Michigan Lawsuit Abuse Watch group that's called MLAW has come up with their wacky labels, their wacky warning labels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess because people will sue for anything. Someone will use a product in a way that it was not intended, and then somehow the company is to blame because you're an idiot. I guess
right. The
companies are now more and more having to put crazy things on warning labels, and this group is the one that keeps track of those. And we thought, well, new year, let's find out what they're talking about. Clark Brainerd is on the line right now from the Michigan Lawsuit Abuse Watch. Good morning, Mr. Brainerd. Thank you for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
So do we have that right? It's just companies that are trying to cover their own asses because of stupid things that we consumers do with their products, right?
Absolutely. This is our 10th year at MLAW, and we have collected warning labels on actual products that have all been the result of frivolous lawsuits. These
right.
are people who have misused the products, then taken the manufacturers to task in a court of law, and by necessity, these manufacturers have had to label these products in order to avoid any such further lawsuits.
Well, is it true, or did I just hear this wrong on the radio, that somebody you actually had to see a warning label that said, don't try to dry your phone in a microwave oven because that's something that somebody decided would be a smart idea?
Is it currently a warning label featured on a cell phone? Apparently someone did try to dry a wet cell phone in their microwave, and it destroyed the phone and the microwave, yes.
Hopefully the person, too.
Sadly, that person is still among us. But,
That's too bad.
These
were pretty common. You'd see warning labels similar to caution, contents are hot,
right.
With the McDonald's fruit pies or the cup of coffee.
Right.
They've gotten increasingly more ridiculous as time has gone by, and this is our 10th year. This is the most ridiculous group yet.
Really? Wow.
What caught the attention at MLAW this year?
Well, you probably heard the story. Everyone's been talking about the fact that the winner this year was the warning label on a front-loading washing machine that said, do not put any person in this washer.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, that was the winner this year. But there were several that did not make the top 10, I think, are just as ludicrous that have never seen the light of day. I'd like to talk to you about those.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Apparently now on a can of Fix-A-Flat that you find in any automotive store,
right.
That carries the label now not to be used for breast augmentation. Apparently a young lady thought she'd save some money on plastic surgery, and the results were catastrophic.
Oh, yeah, my God.
Doesn't sound good.
Currently now on a roll of Lifesavers candy, you will find not for use as a flotation device.
Okay,
well, that makes sense.
Someone threw a roll of butterscotch Lifesavers to a drowning victim in a pool and did not work as well.
Grab a hold of this and hold on!
It's a Lifesaver, grab it.
Yeah.
On the refrigerators now, you'll see on the back of your refrigerator it says refrigerate after opening.
Sure.
Yeah. Pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Blenders these days carry the warning label not for use as an aquarium.
Yeah, well, I can see that.
Yeah, sure. that was a bad one. That turned out poorly.
Could be ugly.
Currently, every U.S. manufactured SUV currently carries the label harmful or fatal if swallowed.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, someone tried to swallow an SUV?
Yeah, a guy named Ted. I don't know what that means.
Really? Okay.
All right. Currently, cheese graters carry the label not for use to shave genitals.
Oh, no.
Oh, now you tell me, Clark. Now you tell me.
Oh.
Ziploc bags currently carry the warning label not to use to keep your baby fresh.
Oh. Oh. Seriously, Clark.
Yeah, that's I'm sorry.
Sounds like you're laughing.
That one. No.
It sounded like you were chuckling.
No, I was. I don't know what I was thinking on that one.
Serious business.
That's not funny.
Rosie O'Donnell carries the label currently, do not watch on a full stomach.
Okay.
Oh,
I can see that.
And, good advice.
And Lindsay Lohan, also a celebrity, carrying the warning label, do not use near open flame.
Well, for obvious reasons.
Apparently
a
guy was banging her near a candle, and now he has skin grafts over 95% of his body.
Oh, wow, that's ugly.
Fire crotch just kind of blew up.
Wow.
You know, we haven't seen a lot of Mayor Villaraigosa since the marriage and girlfriend scandal broke, but every once in a while he does poke his head up and talk about something that's important to him. And right now, it's water conservation. I guess Southern California is in very, very bad shape with the water right now. Hasn't been much rain in the last few years. So he's introducing the Drought Busters program. What's this all about? How's this going to work?
Six full-time customer service employees employed by the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power will travel the city in Toyota Priuses.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to drive around and watch for people who are wasting water. So, for example, if you're cleaning off your sidewalk with water, they'll pull over and write you a ticket. Now, the ticket has no financial. You don't have to pay anything or do anything.
Yeah, they have no enforcement power.
It's just a, hey, how about using less water ticket? And supposedly that's going to help.
Do they wrestle you to the ground and beat on you or anything like that? Or they just say, hey, stop it over there?
They embarrass you.
They don't wait till someone's there to see it.
Don't you know we have a drought? There's a problem.
Is that what, how
wasting
they?
Wasting water.
So they use strong language then?
Yes.
That's the Drought Busters program that Mayor Villaraigosa was talking about.
Who drives an enormous SUV, point out.
Sure.
Well, we've got him on the line. Producer Lightning lined up, the mayor of the great city of Los Angeles. Mayor... What is that? What are you driving right now, Mayor Villaraigosa?
Hey, what do you think I'm driving? Driving a Prius.
Really?
That doesn't sound like a Prius.
No, it does not.
You'd be surprised how fast these things go, man. Jeff, you're starting up Yale, man. Anything goes fast.
Hey, Mr. Mayor, you know... What was that?
There's a gun, stupid. What do you think it is,
sorry.
Huh?
But why are you driving down the road shooting at things? What's that all about?
And to bust some droughts, man.
Oh, you're a drought buster?
That's right. I'm proactive as the mayor. You know what I'm saying? I'm not some kind of guy who just sits back in some office, man. I get my hands dirty. You know what I'm saying? I'm proactive.
You know, Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind my questioning this, I heard you at a press conference yesterday. You sounded like you spoke English about it as well as I do.
Listen to me.
I don't recognize your voice now.
I'm just being myself right now.
Okay.
You know, I'm being my natural self, okay?
Okay.
You know, when I get in front of the microphones, okay? Mm-hmm. When I get in front of the photographer,
right?
You know, I got to pretend to be some weirdo bitch.
I see.
To please the masses.
I see.
But I'm a man who came up from nothing, okay? Uh-huh. I beat myself up by my bootstraps to be where I'm at today. I'm the mayor!
Right, okay. Less shooting and more listening, Mayor. Why are you so out of breath? How exhausting is it to drive a car?
Hey, when you're going 114 miles an hour down a city street, it's exhausting. You know
okay.
Right?
All right, so let me recap here. So you're one of the drought busters. So there's six full-time customer service employees that are driving all over, and they're looking for people who are using the hose to clean off the sidewalks, that are watering their lawns in the middle of the afternoon. You're trying to get people to keep their gutters clear, make sure their leaks are fixed, and all this information you think is going to help deal with the water shortage.
That's right, okay? We got a serious problem in the city when it comes to water, okay? We don't have enough power for the entire city, okay?
Right.
So people need to mind the P's and Q's and take care and be responsible.
Now, is it true that one of the things that you're writing tickets for are restaurants that serve water to customers unless it's specifically requested?
You got to ask us. They give us the water, okay? They can just give it to you, okay? You got to ask.
Okay.
In fact... You know what I say? I'm driving around the city in my Prius. Okay? I'm looking for people I need to take care of.
It really doesn't sound like a Prius. I thought the Prius was pretty quiet.
Are you a specialist, huh? Huh? Well, it's just a pesky team of driving. You don't know nothing.
No, not really.
Okay. But they're quiet though. Those are quiet cars. That sounds like a race car that you're in.
I added exhaust system. Okay, put some glass packs. Okay, Edelbrock intake.
Okay,
board and stroke. You'll be surprised what you can do. Okay.
Okay.
And took it down the Chewy's Chop Shop. They know what to do.
All right. Yes.
First things first.
Okay, Mayor.
I know that entertainment industry and broadcasting is the best way to get in touch with the people.
Okay.
So I made a song for all the radio stations.
Oh, okay.
Especially yours. I even sent a copy over to Lightning. I think you got a copy
That's
of it right
That's what I
now.
Have here. You okay. want me to play it now?
Play.
Okay.
If your faucet's on, when you brush your teeth, who you gonna call? Drought Busters! If the sun put off in your neighborhood, who you gonna call? Drought Busters!
Yeah, okay. Wow!
Think I got my message across?
That's a hell of a theme right
sure
there.
Is.
You better believe it. Listen to me. I'm trying to let everybody know. If you don't go green, you're black and blue.
Okay, but...
Okay?
Mr. Mayor,
Oh, wait! Hey, hold on, hold on. Somebody, this guy's got a sprinkler, so hold on.
Oh, no. Whoa.
All right, turn that. Yeah.
Did you just beat someone up? Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
I thought you were just handing out tickets.
No, man.
That's what
the
story said.
Message. You gotta send a message, okay?
Well, the story said you just write a ticket. There's
yeah,
no fine.
Yeah, okay. I gotta do what I gotta do in the press.
Okay.
But you know what I'm saying behind the scenes? You gotta handle your business, okay? If anything, I know how to handle it.
Now, who are you shooting at?
Okay.
Who was that?
Who are you shooting at? A pelican.
Yeah,
what?
Shut up.
You're shooting a pelican.
They don't fly.
So you hate them?
Yeah. Oh, wait a second.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. This guy's trying to put out a fire. His house is on fire. He's trying to put it out with a hose.
Well, that what? Should be, of course. Fire. That should be
well,
fine. Hold on a second. Let him put the fire out. Machine gun fire?
Okay.
All right, what, Mr. Mayor, what do you want him to do when his house is on fire? Of course he's going to use water to try to put it out.
You better start blowing.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he okay?
No, he's dead.
You killed him.
What, too much?
Well, maybe, yeah.
If your faucet's on, when you brush your teeth, who you gonna call? Drought Busters! If the sun put off in your neighborhood, who you gonna call? Drought Busters!
Yeah, okay.
Thank you, Leland, so much for giving me the heads up on this and sending me the DVD of Request Video from Channel 56, KDOC. Which, is that even on the air anymore, by the way, KDOC?
I don't know.
It was a local Orange County independent station at the time, and they used to run an afternoon Request Video show where callers would call in. You have a small studio audience, and occasionally, half a dozen times or so, Kevin and I were invited to be guest hosts of the show that day.
Well, if any more of these episodes exist out there
that
you could please send me, I would appreciate it, because this one has whetted my appetite.
Before we hear it, I would like to just say as a disclaimer, we fully admit, especially at that point, that we were completely talentless boobs.
I will show you point for point how little has changed over the past 14 years. I will show you doing the same exact crap back then as you're doing now. That's my point.
We're still talentless boobs, is what you're saying.
I'm fine
Draw
with that,
too.
Draw your own conclusions. I'm just saying.
I'm fine with that, too.
There's been so little change over the years, really, when you look at it.
All right. Here's the belt, Daddy. I'm going to bend over now.
Here's the show. It's Request Video. It's a Neanderthal version of sort of Total Request Live, where it's a cheesy set, and they show these videos, and they bring on these two radio yahoos to host the show, which apparently had a regular hot host named Gia DeSantis, who I never watched.
Yes.
And she's off on assignment or something, so these two take over. And here's the thing. Kevin and Bean bring with them, wherever they go, any medium they explore, an incredible sense of lack of professionalism and just no idea how to do the job or carry it off, no polish, no attempt at trying to run smoothly. This is the very opening of the show, the first thing you see when you see Kevin and Bean on the screen.
Hey, Ron.
Yeah.
It's Request Video. Welcome to Channel 56. Kevin and Bean from the world-famous K-Rock. 106.7 KROQ. Let's hear it.
Thank you.
You couldn't...
There was one guy in the front that went...
You couldn't fit one more person in the studio today, have you noticed? Man, I'm telling you, when they hear down here in Anaheim that Kevin and Bean are coming, it's like Depeche Mode tickets are going on sale. There are so many people. Could we get a shot on three of the huge monster crowd? Look at that, huh?
Bean is now directing. Can we get a shot at that?
Apparently not. Apparently just a one-camera deal here today.
All right.
You're going to have to take our word for it. There are so many people there. It would blow you away.
It's
You didn't know how many characters.
There were about four people there. I don't know. I don't remember.
First, they were looking around at each other. Hey, we're on. That's how they start. And they're like, can we get a shot? No. They have no idea what's going on, how to orchestrate things, no control whatsoever.
We thought if it was a TV show, we could ask for a shot.
Two guys dropped down in the middle of the wilderness with a pack of matches and a canteen of water and asked to survive for a week. They just have no idea. Well, keep in mind also, this show is on in the afternoon. This is when the kiddies are getting home from school around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They're watching the rock videos. They're sitting there with their soda pop and their snacks. And Bean, always knowing his audience,
oh, sure,
launches into some very topical Judge Clarence Thomas comedy about the confirmation hearings back then of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and what Vice President at the time, Dan Quayle, was thinking during the votes.
Really?
I kid you not.
Have you heard Judge Thomas was confirmed? We just saw that on the news. And you know the guy who really is suffering from all this is we were watching as they were calling the vote, and Vice President Dan Quayle, who works, what, 1 or 2 days a year? Pretty much. Dan Quayle does two things for a living. One is in case there's a tie vote in the Senate, he votes. And two, he sits around praying for George Bush to have another heart attack. Those are the two things he does. And Dan's sitting there as they're calling the vote, and it's looking close. It's like 35-34, 36-35, and he's sitting there going, yes, yes, yes.
He's hoping for a tie so he can vote.
He thought he'd get a chance to work 1 second of the year, but no, it didn't work out that way. But that's the latest on that. Just so in case you're tuning into this show for news, we thought we should tell you that.
We'd take care of you right up front.
We have a lot to do today.
Wow.
Yeah, well, get to it. Thanks for that info, Bean. It's the same goddamn bit. Same goddamn thing. Bean comes out with some lame-ass story from C-SPAN that no one's watched. And you know, there's some 13-year-old pimply-faced kid in Orange County going, what the F? I'm here to see Nirvana. What is this a-hole talking about? Dan Quayle, how he's feeling as the vote's coming in. Blow me.
But we had a lot to get to.
Leave the brother alone. Even if he did do it, so what? It happened.
Thank
Let
you. Thank you very much, caller.
Obviously,
I appreciate
that. You had a lot
that.
To get to, so you could take 8 minutes out and talk about the Clarence Thomas hearings.
I don't remember this tape at all. That won't surprise you, but I can only imagine that it was a very hot news topic at the
not
time.
Not on request video.
Yeah, maybe it was. Maybe we not. Took 3 calls in a row from 14-year-olds, and they wanted to know.
Really? What do you think about the Coke can thing? Think there was really a pube on there? So anyway, I guess you guys were watching the commercials in between segments there while you're on television, because they had this thing for this is quintessential Kevin. It's a 1-900 number for a psychic, right? That's the last commercial before they come back live into the studio. And here's what Kevin thought about that commercial.
Hey, by the way, those 900 love numbers are just awesome, aren't they?
We love those.
What the hell was that? It was a psychic line, first of all. Hey, the 900 love numbers. We love them.
I'm pretty sure I was drunk.
It is impossible to overstate just how bad that sucks.
All right, now, I would like to point out that we did get banned from KDOC. They would never let us on the premises again because Bean felt the need to say that he wanted to have sex with Debbie Boone. At some point,
was a pop singer from the 70s.
Sure. And light up my life.
Her dad owned the station, so that was it. We were banned.
Very religious dude, that Pat Boone, by the way.
Yes, yeah. He is.
Yeah.
Did you know that, Bean, that his dad owned the station?
Well, sure.
Of course.
Just Bean pushing buttons.
Oh, of course. But didn't I do the audience a favor by getting this banned? Because this tape that we're hearing of us from 1991 hosting a show called Request Video on Channel 56 down in Anaheim is, believe me, as painful as it is for you, the K-Rock listener, to hear, imagine how it is for us.
Now, Bean, knowing he's on television, decides he's going to start doing some visual comedy. And I hate to ruin the joke for you, but I have to explain it to you. He'll talk about, in this segment, Christmas coming up. And it's October, mind you. And he says, hey, I got the Christmas issue of Rolling Stone magazine. And it had Jerry Garcia from the Grateful Dead on the cover.
Right.
And he's got a big picture of Santa Claus and the cover of Rolling Stone. And he keeps showing them the camera, comparing the two, saying, look, Santa Claus is on Rolling Stone. That's the joke.
Because Jerry Garcia looks like a fat
Santa.
Has a
white beard.
Sure.
That's the joke. And you will hear it do just as well on the show as here in the studio when I explained it.
We're going to take a call here in a minute, too. Have you got any Christmas stuff in the mail yet?
No, it's October.
I know it is, but look what I got. The Christmas issue of Rolling Stone.
Already
which
out.
Seems a little odd, I know, but...
This is Bean doing comedy.
Warning. You tell me. Is it the Christmas issue of Rolling Stone or not? An incredible simulation? No, I don't think so. Jerry Garcia is Santa Claus. Yeah. I just wanted to bring that in because it is October, and please, we urge you again, kill it with the whole Christmas junk. You know what we're saying?
We're begging you.
All right, let's take that call, shall we?
Yeah, let's. Oh. What's that smell? Oh, it's that bit. It's just laying there dying on stage.
Oh, is it any wonder the rest of the world hates us?
Let's take that call.
And by the way, those calls were all high-quality calls.
12-year-olds waiting for more Clarence Thomas updates. That's who was calling in.
I missed your Clarence Thomas chunk. Can you get into that again?
So we go to commercial, and Kevin comes out of commercial with some hilarious comedy.
Hi, welcome back to the Adventures of Mark and Brian. That was just a joke. I'm Kevin. This is Bean. We do the morning show from 106.7 K-Rock.
Because that was a show.
That was just a joke, Kevin says.
That they were doing.
In case anybody really thinks they're Mark and Brian. No, no, that was just a joke.
By the way, if you have to say that was just a joke, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
That's the first sign of something that wasn't funny.
That's a way to beg for laughs, is what that is.
Yeah. If you don't know if the audience is going to know whether it's a joke or not, you might want to cut it out of your routine.
Let me make a note of that.
Yeah, it was pretty strong. During this segment, you guys are apparently going to Scotland. At this point on the radio show, you're going
Okay. We were going to go look for the Loch Ness Monster.
Right.
Yeah.
And Bean had a reputation for getting hurt when you guys would travel.
Bean gets hurt every time we go anywhere. Still does.
So you guys were raffling off his body parts. Which one was going to get hurt?
Oh, yeah. That's right. People would call in and they would pick a body part.
I'll take the left arm or whatever.
And then later we were going to pay them off when he got hurt.
They won Oingo Boingo tickets if they were right. So there's this big cardboard cutout of Bean.
Right.
Which, oddly enough, is sort of a precursor to how we take pictures with him now.
Sure.
Right.
And you were holding it at the time, pointing the different body parts, and then you get tired of holding it, so you hand it to Bean.
Do you want to hold yourself? Because frankly, I'm not. Look, I'm tired of holding myself. I've been single for so long. You'll get that in about 5 minutes. Oh, tired of holding himself. I get it now.
Wow.
These are the jokes. I don't dance.
I always love the comedian that says the joke and then no one laughs and they go, "You'll get it in about 5 minutes."
Right.
As if that's
it's your
the problem.
Fault.
Are we done?
Finally, you guys start playing some videos. And the producer starts yelling at you, too, because you're not doing it properly.
But hard to believe. How do you play videos properly?
That's what I would like to know. She starts screaming at you, just read it. Just read the cue cards. And at the end, Bean once again shows that he has his finger on the pulse of pop culture, how he has just vision to see the great talents that are around you at the time that you guys recorded this.
Shall we get to the video? This video is next, Claudia, after the break?
Speak up,
this
Claudia.
This video
speak,
is now.
Talk.
Now.
Talk now.
No, the next is it coming? Just read it. Metallica, Enter Sandman for Robert in Moreno Valley. Plus, The Vandals, Pizza Train for Jim in Orange. And Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit for Peter in Fullerton. Can you tell that we're reading?
That's a bad title for a song. We'll be right back. It's KDOC.
Smells Like Teen Spirit. That's a bad title for a song. You're right. That band's never going anywhere.
Nothing ever came to them, right?
That song's going to drop right off the map. What a horrible title for a song.
Maybe these losers.
That was maybe the best song of all time.
What a piece of crap that is. I think it's been number one on every rock list ever, the greatest rock songs ever. That's a horrible title for a song. Those guys will never make it.
I'm frankly a little tired today. Is there anything you can suggest as a pick-me-up?
You guys know who Steven Seagal is, right? The fat actor who used to do martial arts movies?
Mm-hmm. He was very popular in the 90s. He had a lot of big hits like Out for Justice, Hard to Kill, Marked for Death, the Under Siege movies. I mean, he was a real, real big star for a while. And then he just, I don't know, it seemed like he just vanished, just evaporated. I mean, you never, ever hear from him again.
That's because he might have actually vanished. This guy is a visionary. And I don't know if you've seen or not, but he has a new energy drink.
Really?
Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt.
Wow.
The first of its kind. And we thought we would have Steven on to ask him a few questions just about what's going on with the energy drink. Good morning, Steven.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Good.
Well, Steven, I got to be honest. First of all, welcome back to Hollywood. But I have to be honest, we were surprised.
I never left Hollywood. Making movies, still making music.
We haven't.
Still very popular.
We haven't seen much of you.
Your movies go direct to DVD now, mostly, though, right?
They do play on smaller screens.
Yes, okay.
But I guess what I was going to say, Mr. Seagal, is that when we saw your product advertised, we chuckled a little bit because you don't strike us as an energetic guy. You seem a little low-key to be promoting something like an energy drink.
I have enormous energy.
Really?
I have enormous energy.
Okay.
And my body's in tip-top physical condition, largely because of the studying I did when I was in Tibet, studying martial arts and Buddhism.
I see.
Okay, but when we've seen pictures of you in the paper, you look really, really fat compared to in your action hero days of 15 years ago. You don't look like you're in the top physical condition of your life, sir.
Well, everyone knows the camera adds about 100 pounds.
All right, now you got...
If you saw me in person, you would be shocked at my sinew.
Okay.
My rippling muscles.
Now
and
the...
my incredible vitality.
Now, the new energy drink is called Lightning Bolt.
Lightning Bolt, yes.
Says it's the first of its kind. How's it different from any of the other energy drinks?
I formulated this energy drink myself personally.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I came up with it during my travels in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Most important part is the first energy drink ever to contain Asian cordyceps and Tibetan goji berry, two of the most rare and treasured herbs in Chinese and Tibetan medicine for thousands of years.
Okay.
Never heard of those.
Yeah, they sound kind of made up, like maybe it's one of those things that you know, you're trying to advertise, make it seem exotic and expensive, yet it doesn't really do anything.
Are you Tibetan?
I am not, no.
Well, that's probably why you never heard of them.
Okay.
They're very treasured by the Tibetans and the Chinese for thousands of years, and they're rare and treasured.
Now,
incredibly treasured.
Nobody has ever put these into a drink
no
before.
One.
Okay.
It's the first time they've ever been an energy drink. It will make a difference in your life that you will not believe. It'll add energy, vitality, and make you'll get younger as you drink it.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
Now, you're not Asian, right?
Well, depends on how you define Asian.
Well, somebody from that part of the world.
Your heritage is not
I'm not Asian.
The paperwork says Lightning Bolt, an Asian experience energy drink.
That's one of our flavors. We have two flavors, Cherry Charge and Asian Experience.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Cherry Charge now, gives you a charge.
Of cherry.
Of cherry.
Okay, and the Asian Experience?
Asian.
What's that like, Steven Seagal?
Is it like experiencing Asia?
That's not what it does for us.
Why do you have an energy drink? You have less energy than anyone on the planet. Steven?
Asian experience.
Yes. Yes?
Tastes like milk.
Oh, no. That's not where I thought you were going.
Makes you wear welding helmets in the sun.
Come on.
It gives you the urge to open a nail salon.
Oh, okay. No one needs to hear
your penis.
Steven,
don't you understand that there are some words that hurt? I mean, come on. You can't talk like that.
I would recommend the Cherry Charge.
That's not going to endear you to your Asian brethren.
No, it's
not. The Cherry Charge, by the way, has Asian cordyceps and Tibetan goji berry.
Right.
Yes,
two of the most rare and treasured herbs.
You mentioned that.
Used in Chinese and Tibetan medicine for thousands of years.
Yes, we understand all that.
These are treasured.
All right, we saw this
loosely thrown around. These
really? I understand they're treasured. Right? Listen, we
are they
saw...
plentiful though? Would you say they're all over?
No, I'd have to say treasured.
Treasured.
Okay. Okay. We saw the ad for the Lightning Bolt, the Steven Seagal energy drink in a magazine. But how else are you getting the word out to the people?
Well, Lightning Bolt is available in most popular grocery stores, 7-Elevens. Okay. But I am trying to get the word out. I'm advertising in magazines and also on television and radio. In fact, I'm advertising there at K-Rock.
That's your radio station. You have an ad on K-Rock now?
Not yet, but it will be airing sometime later this week.
All right.
And I believe I sent over the commercial there that we're going to be airing for the first time. You guys can play it on your show.
Fantastic. So this is a commercial for your Lightning Bolt.
Lightning Bolt energy drink.
All right, here you go.
Hey, everybody. Lightning from the Kevin and Bean Morning Show here, and I'm here to talk about Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt energy drink. And with me on the phone is listener Steve. Steve, you actually tried Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt energy drink, right?
That's right, Lightning. I heard you talking about the fact that Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt energy drink contains Asian cordyceps and the Tibetan goji berry, two of the most rare and treasured botanicals used in Chinese and Tibetan medicine for thousands of years.
You didn't say that.
And that it promoted energy, vitality, and longevity. So I just had to try it.
Wow. And how'd you like it?
Well, after I drank it, I was able to successfully battle terrorists on a boat and a train with my newly developed martial arts techniques and stop an evil oil corporation from desecrating sacred Indian burial grounds.
Right, wow.
Plus, I'm 8 years younger now than I was before I started drinking it. Oh, and now chicks really dig me, too.
Wow, and how long did you need to drink Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt Energy drink to get those results?
A month.
A month?
A month.
A month.
A month.
Whoa, Nelly!
But what about the price?
Well, as you know, Most other energy drinks cost thousands of dollars per can.
Sure.
But by switching to Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt energy drink, I was able to save over $4 million a year on my energy drink bill.
Incredible. Well, there you have it, folks. Not only will Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt energy drink give you incredible martial arts skills, make you younger, and drive the ladies crazy, but it'll save you millions of dollars a year. And that's not energy drink bogusness.
Lightning, I don't know what they're talking about. I can hear the bass in your voice just fine.
Oh, well, thanks, Steve.
Was that you, Steven?
No.
Was that you on the phone?
That was a listener named Steve.
That sounds just like you.
Lucky man.
We have tried to stress through the years over and over again, people take care of your penises.
I think I hurt mine a few minutes ago listening to Cindy Crawford with the candy cane.
A 50-year-old scientist burned his penis on a laptop.
Yay!
What? He was typing with it so fast that it caught on fire.
It's on fire! He noticed a redness and irritation the following day after he had used the laptop. I guess he sat there and typed for about an hour and a half. Now, I've done this many times.
Where you put the laptop on your lap?
Yeah.
Was he pantsless?
No.
He's wearing pants.
Says he was wearing, well, in this story, trousers and underpants, which are what they say for 50-year-olds.
What?
And, you know, I think maybe his laptop got a lot hotter than it was supposed to for mm-hmm. some reason. But he noticed a redness and irritation the following day. He went to the doctor. A couple of days later, I'm going to spare you some of the gory details. Because
No, share the gories, dude.
I'm not a big fan of gore, but blisters.
Yeah?
Burn blisters on his penis. That's how bad it was burned from the laptop.
Wow.
What a jackass.
Does seem like he's out of touch.
He really didn't feel that coming?
Yeah, that does seem serious enough that you would notice it at the time rather than just after the fact. That's like not knowing you've been shot.
That's crazy.
Lisa, have you ever injured a penis?
Well, you know, occasionally you bend them really hard in one direction by accident, but other than that, no.
You know, they're not stick shifts, right?
Oopsie, sorry.
That's painful. Let's take a few phone calls because this seems to happen more than we're comfortable with, mm-hmm. doesn't it?
Yeah.
Jason and Brea, good morning.
Morning.
What did you do to yours?
Well, I was at work. I'm a union iron worker, and I would do a lot of welding and cutting of metal, and I was in a position to be doing it above myself, and a hot flashes came down, went down my shirt, and happened to burn about three little holes in my... pecker.
Oh my God!
That's
burned
what I thought it.
It
was when I got home. My girlfriend thought I was cheating on her and developed a herpes complex or something.
Oh.
So it led to a nice little argument.
Really, you couldn't convince her it was hot metal?
Well, you know, it wasn't it. She just wasn't going for it. I don't know. I guess my track record in the past wasn't going working for me. So,
man, oh man,
that is funny. Now, was there any kind of permanent damage, or did it heal up okay?
Healed up all right, but I got some little Mi Vida Loca scars down there.
Oh, I bet.
God, that's unbelievable. I used to weld, believe it or not. And and when you cut the pipe, those pieces that fly off there are on fire.
Yeah, they are.
And they just touch the back of your neck and you jump 10 feet. I can't imagine them landing on your penis.
They're nice when they're glowing red and then it lets your penis cool them down for it.
Oh, my God.
That's what you get for welding naked, man.
You should have thought of that.
Let's take the sting out of burning your penis and go with Eric, who had a frozen dick story.
All right. Eric in Burbank. Good morning.
Good morning.
How do you freeze it?
It was the freeze pack, and then somehow it leaked over the night, and it leaked all over, and I guess whatever's inside burned them up pretty good.
It was a what pack?
The cold pack.
I see.
You break up, and then they instantly get cold.
Right. What was he putting it on to begin with?
On his upper thigh, on the muscle that he pulled playing softball.
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay.
And it broke during the night and fell on his
leaked.
And on his penis and he couldn't feel it and wake up?
You know, I guess he had a couple drinks before he went to bed, and then when he, you know, because he had the full muscle and then he woke up, it was all over.
That's funny.
And what kind of damage does that do to the unit?
Well, he didn't work the next day, but he came in the following day, and it was all looked like second-degree burns.
Oh, my God. Did he spend the whole day going, hey, everybody, look at this. You'll never believe what I did. All right, thank you, Eric. Hold on for your T-shirt, okay? Don't go away. Oh, my God. Dan?
How you doing?
Good, thank you. All these people, by the way, are their, quote, friend,
sure.
unquote.
Yeah. Didn't happen to them as much as their friend. Now, what's your friend's story, Dan?
My friend Mike, he has this dog that's really, really protective. And if you act like you're going to fight him or, like, that person acts like you're going to fight somebody else, the dog just attacks you.
Right.
So he was acting, my friend Mike was acting like it was the dog was attacking me. Ended up biting his dick. it just jumped up and chomped his nads, and it put a hole right through the side of his penis.
Oh my God.
So we had to go to the emergency room, and it was kind of an interesting one to explain to the nurses. But,
no kidding.
But like right through the side, like right towards where the shaft kind of meets your body.
I don't think that is so painful. Two words, pain and full.
they didn't put the dog down or anything bad like that, did they?
No.
No, but they put the penis down.
Yeah, exactly. Well, once they got the penis out of his mouth, then put the dog down.
Wow. Thanks for the call. Hold on for your T-shirt. I remember that time I had to go to the emergency room when I fell on that vacuum cleaner hose?
Yes.
And, that just fell, that's all. But it didn't do any kind of serious damage. I just couldn't get it out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's take a nurse, Jennifer.
I don't know why I decided to call in. I just felt like, you know, America needed to hear this.
You work in the emergency room? Is that where you've seen these things?
I see lots of things. But
right.
This is where I saw this particular guy, and this is a grown man in his 20s, was taking his temperature with a rectal thermometer down his urethra.
Why was he taking his temperature there?
Because he's a moron.
He really thought that's what he's supposed to do?
And it broke. It's to make it broke. And this is why he ended up in the emergency room, because
it broke off?
It broke inside. He was able to extract the top part, you know, the part that would just slide right out. But
God.
The other part was jammed inside. Of course, it's glass, and there's mercury inside of it.
Okay.
This is the worst thing I've ever heard. You can't top this.
Did you laugh at him?
No, you can't laugh.
Oh, Jennifer.
You have to go in the lounge and laugh it off. You can't laugh in front of the patient.
Did it require a surgery? How did they clean him up? Oh, surgery.
They had to call a surgeon in, and it was 2:00 in the morning, you know, and they literally had to slice it open.
Okay, I don't think we need any more details, because this is too painful for us to listen to.
Hey, Jennifer, let me ask you this. You can only guess, I suppose, unless he told you, but do you think that he really was trying to take his temperature and he was just a moron, or do you think there was some sort of sexual urge going on that he was trying to scratch?
I asked him, and he said he was actually trying to take his temperature because he didn't want to shove it in his anus.
Right.
Why
did he try under his tongue? Why did he try that?
I asked him. I'm like, you know, the armpit, under the tongue, there's lots of well, because this is a rectal thermometer, and it has to go down here. So.
Wow.
So he just figured any opening down there was as good as any other opening, right?
Oh, man.
I love that.
Kevin, you got to party with Jennifer next time you go to Vegas.
No kidding.
You know someone there now.
No kidding. Have fun in Vegas, Jennifer. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Man, I don't.
That's,
we don't have
that's
time
great.
For all.
I
of
know
this.
We got so many. I want to hear about the guy's dick who snapped in half. I want to hear about that.
We'll get to it. Plus, we'll get to the drill. But first, Jason, Los Angeles. Good morning.
You spilled what on your penis?
Sulfuric acid.
That's what I'm talking about. Sulfuric acid, everybody.
What were you doing with that?
Well, I used to be a beekeeper, and and this acid they use to drive down the bees so we can rob the honey.
Right.
Uh huh.
And, well, this bottle had been sitting in a crate outside. And, you know, when plastic gets sitting in the sun for a while, it just breaks up. Well, I picked up the box, and it broke up, and it spilled all over my crotch.
Oh, my God.
And all I could do was grab it and just try to create some kind of different pain. I was just squeezing it, you know. I was like,
was your answer, is to create more pain in the same area?
I had to create a different kind of pain. It was bad. I mean, it felt like somebody was holding a lighter underneath my balls.
Oh,
And I guess you look around for a swimming pool, that's your first choice, because that's
exactly.
Some relief. Yeah.
All I could find was a water spigot, dropped my shorts from my ankles and stood there.
Dude, is that why you gave up beekeeping?
Yeah, that's why I became an elevator guy instead.
A what?
Elevator guy.
Oh, elevator guy, yeah. Okay.
You're gonna get us stuck.
All right, Jason.
Gonna get us stuck in a door soon. Clay in Corona, good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good, thank you. This is not you, this is your buddy, huh?
Yeah. True story. My buddy, back in high school, he was working on his motorcycle, and he had a drill, and the drill bit, he kind of brought it up towards his nads like he was drilling himself, and it caught his pants. And it just, you know how a drill is, it just kept going, and it tore right into his scrotum and tore him up really bad.
Oh, my God.
The thing is, he didn't really say anything about it. He ended up going inside, and he took his underwear and threw it in the hamper, and his mom saw his bloody underwear sitting there, so we wait till his dad gets home, tells his dad, and his dad takes him to the hospital that evening.
Oh, because he was too embarrassed to tell anyone?
Oh, he didn't want to say anything. Not at all. He was out of school for like 3 days. When he finally showed up, it was all over school.
He drilled his own scrotum. He should have been on the movie Jackass.
Yeah, he was thinking he was just doinking around. As soon as it caught his pants, man, it ripped right into him.
That's funny. I can't take anymore.
I can't take. Those are some painful stories. I'm scringing right now.
Yes, they are. I'm scringing too.